Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. It's Monday night. I want y'all to know it is time to free your mind. So get ready.
Walk in Zion. On the way, be thine aid. Thy kingdom come on earth. Thine will be done on earth. On the way, be thine aid. Don't let them fool you. Don't see me that they are with you. Out to the people. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe me that they don't like you. Why try to let I am happy? Really have to know. If you go up to them, my friend, you will never get a son on the door. Through that mystical communication within, we keep on coming together. I love to see brothers and sisters looking up for one another. That's the way it should be, not contrary. Stop fearing down each other. Only rock that be the people. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe 1 minute that they are with you. Stop me to see the truth. Over years and bodies too. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe 1 minute that they are with you. I'm so glad you. You don't feel the like they want you to. Yeah. I say,
you.
Monday, but we got a special guest tonight that I'm sure all of you have known, and we're going to bring him out after I do my thing. But let me tell y'all, oh my goodness, we had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I don't even know where to start because so much information I got to give out before we even get this brother on the air. So let me start now without playing around. We had communications with my brother, Reverend Pinckney. They did lift in the sanction against him to be on the internet, and his wife is allowed to be on the internet. He will be on our show 9 o'clock on Wednesday with what is going on in Benton Harbor and in Detroit with the takeover of Detroit, Michigan, and Benton Harbor, Michigan. And it's gonna be serious, y'all. I talked to him for a while, and it was we better wake up, y'all. It's coming all around. And also, I had to play my man there, Bougie Bonton, because I was around the island people. You know, we all got the island people in us. And I was there at Body, Mind, and Soul in Hollywood, Florida, which is Broward County, I believe. It's at 2506 Sheridan Street, Hollywood. And we had a wonderful time getting together based off of Hidden Colors. Hidden Colors is coming out with Hidden Colors 3. Those of you who have seen Hidden Colors 1 and 2, you can understand where we're coming from with that. But they had a wonderful dialogue up there, and we really got to get more deeper in the dialogue. From what I witnessed, everybody's willing. I think we're going to try to get some of them on Wednesday as well, because Booker T. Coleman, whose new name I cannot even pronounce, so I'm not even going to try. But Booker T. Coleman, who was in Hidden Colors 1 and 2, is going to be here in South Florida. He's going to do a meet and greet starting on next week, Friday. And he's going to go into Saturday and into Sunday. If you are interested, everybody, you call Mind, Body, and Soul. And the number is 786-357-1899 or 754-210-3277. Like I said before, he will be here. They're going to have so many things going on. It's going to be from, like I said before, June the 14th. I think June, you're going to be a Mind, Body, and Soul. So get your information from them, and please turn out, because this is a very important for everybody, because this is going to segue into what we're talking about tonight. You know, Hidden Colors put together by a few good brothers, and I appreciate them doing it, because there needs to be dialogue with this topic, with the Moors and what happened over in Spain and so forth. And basically, we're talking about law merchants, the Merchant of Venice, the Garibaldi family, the Medici family. Well, you do your research enough, you're going to hook up to the Pope, where this will end up with the QV Trust, which is the Triple Crown, which the Pope wears on his head, Pope Peter wore on his head. That's a trust. And there's a lot of information that you can get from this, but I will be there. The actual screening of Hidden Colors 3 will be in June the 26th, which is a Thursday. So it's going to be down here near Miami Dolphins Stadium, so look for it. I'll get the information out before that, but that will be the premiere. It's only premiering in about, I think, 10 cities, and Miami is one of them. So we want to get out there and support, but we want to have conversations that is critical, because we can't allow ourselves to be non-analytical people, and that's what I consider what the movie said: become a think tank, start thinking. It's not illegal yet. Now, you know we can't go without saying that. I gave my shout out to them. I'm going to give my shout out before we get everybody, because I promised them last day that we will start announcing businesses, because it's important. They have to realize if we are going to survive, we must support each other's business. So I'm going to start with what I seen yesterday, which was Mind, Body, and Soul, which is a yoga. They had one of the, what I consider one of the best fruit bars I've experienced. It was very good. Brothers did an excellent job in my smoothie. And that was here in Broward. We got my St. Pete family. I told them I'm going to start shouting them out. That's Dream Makers Development Agency. She's a development agency. You can call at dreammakers.com. That's in St. Peters, Florida. Then we have our sister in St. Peters, Florida, Massage with Healing Touch. I know our sisters like to do a lot of touching, brother. So y'all need to go and support these sisters who like to touch. That's at Massage with Healing Touch on 5022 Gulfport Boulevard in Gulfport, Florida. It's going to be 727-851-2167. I met these people, and I can say they were very nice to me. Then we have our sister who was on the panel yesterday. If your kids are having problems, I write for you to trust our psychology, even though I do not trust psychology because it's really not made for us. It's made by a German professor. Y'all do the research. I'm not going to go there in that day. So her name is Kendrick Dunn, Tabi Bessa Kendrick Dunn. Her phone number is 786-260-7339. She was at the Buying Body and Soul as one of the panelists. We have Brother Hair Braid. This is in St. Pete's. Brother Hair Braid. Y'all want your hair braided? Her styles are unique. She has a college for braiding hair. If you young sisters are interested or young brothers are interested in braiding hair, 877-272-3136. And we have one of the sisters I met last night who I think needs to hook up with my sister in Tampa, Florida, because this name is the same name as our sister who running for school board, Irene Case. This one is called Movement for Change. And hers is called Movement Change. So Movement Change need to hook up with Movement for Change because you two sisters are dynamic. I met her yesterday, and she put a fantastic program together. And I must admit, it was the most I've seen in a long time. It was the most I've seen in a long time show out. So I give them credit. But again, like I said before, we need to have analytical thinking on what we're watching because I asked the question. I said, what kind of republic was this? And not many knew. And when I finally told them there was a Masonic Republic, which is one of the first in the world to be in the Western world as a Masonic Republic, even though our many nations have mystery systems. So you better realize where you're sitting at. You better realize where your feet laying at. You better realize what's to come. Because like I say before, transparency is never in a Masonic Republic. Now, in saying so, this brother I'm going to bring on tonight, I met really him through other brothers. That's the connection. Credit Man, who's been on our show on numerous times with his credit program, always kept saying, we got to listen to this brother. He also said you had to listen to a few other brothers. And in doing so, we got a little bit of information on everybody because I think we can learn from everybody, but we have to decipher. Like the wheat and the tare, because this brother, I'm going to read his memo before we get started, and we will get started in a few minutes. Like the wheat and tare, they grow together, but they can't be together in the end. And that's truth and falsehood. Truth and falsehood ain't going to make it, y'all, together. Can't happen. So if truth hurts you, then you have a problem. Because we in the age of Aquarius, it's the age of knowing. It is no longer the age of believe. So we want to get that straightened out tonight, that this is not in the age of believe. We're in the age of knowing. And so in doing so, we want to make it clear. It's time for y'all to buckle down and start to learn what's necessary. The revolution will not be televised. Understand that quite well. And our brothers who made that knew that quite well. They're not going to televise the revolution. They're going to give you a false revolution. And being that these brothers who we're about to bring on and sisters are in the revolution based on the mental the mental. We into the mental. And so when we in the mental, y'all have to understand that we get all the physical because you can't beat them right now at this point in mind because your mind ain't even at that level. But this is the mental. And so in saying so, I'm going to do what I normally do because listen to the brothers and sisters from mind, body, and soul. I am even more confident that the Maya, which is etched in stone, we don't have to have anybody tell us they can't find it. It's right there. Truth. That's the whole thing, brothers and sisters. Truth. If it hurts you, then you need to check yourself. Justice. You are not going to have justice until you want it. If you love not having it, guess what? You won't have it. Harmony. You're not going to have harmony until we get together. And I told the brothers and sisters that mind, body, and soul, who are the island family, you got to start talking deep to your African-American. I'm just going to use that term, African-American brothers and sisters. African-American brothers and sisters, you got to reach out to the Haitians. You got to reach out to Jamaicans because they don't really know our history on this land here. Because if you're coming in from another country, as they did one time, they're coming in from the regime of England in an English curriculum. We have a curriculum, which I told the teachers yesterday, is Prussian, from Prussian, Austria, Germany. That's our school system. Okay? Look it up. I'm not making this up. Balance. You ain't going to have no balance if you don't understand where we're coming from. Reciprocity. You cannot believe, everybody, that if what's happening to us is just by circumstance. I told the brothers and sisters yesterday, on those Christopher Columbus ships, there were a few black people on them navigating them with the curious maps that they were found by Constantinople or one of the brothers from over there in the land of Afghanistan where they all that day harboring up the opium plants. That's where our military is at, just in case you didn't know that. You can't have that going on and be on the ships with them and get here and see people as dark as most people that's on this line and say you didn't know you was about to enslave them. You can't do that. So that's where reciprocity come in. You know, you got to look at what happened to have us in this condition, order. And, of course, without that, you don't have righteousness. Well, tonight, we got a Brother Sharif is on the air tonight, and I'm going to enjoy bringing him on here. I'm going to not at least cue him in so he'd be on there, so I got him in there before I get him in there. Thank you. Can you hear me, Brother Sharif?
I can, Brother. Peace and blessings to you.
All right, peace.
Glad to be here.
All right, and I'm glad you're here. Now, I brought this brother in because, you know, for some strange reason, we've been connecting with all of our brothers and sisters, and I'm enjoying every moment of this because it's all to come. And this brother, out of nowhere, from a sister, had gave me a call on through Facebook, and of course, she introduced herself, and I was most gracious to talk with her. And she came to me telling me some good things, and then she mentioned your name. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I just had the brother that you were co-host with on the air, Brother Yosevel." And it was strange because these two shows, or the last three shows, have been a combination of people who've been listening to each other and coming on the air. And I want y'all to know we are actually listening to everybody because we are analyzing for the first time what people are saying. And we are becoming more aware. So this brother called me, and we spoke. And I must admit, I had a good time talking to him because it was just like a good old homeboy. It was like I was talking to one of my homeboys. And that's what I like when we can talk on a regular, plain level, keep it plain to everybody. And we was. And he explained some things to me that was quite interesting. And so, in further ado, I'm going to bring him in. This brother, as you know, and those who don't know, was on one of the most popular shows on Talk Radio, on Yosevel's show. He was the co-host. Well, he broke off and started something called the House of Restoration Ministry, which I like the acronym, which is THOR. And I won't be Loki tonight, man, so I ain't closing my eye. So, Odin, I ain't going to be Odin. So I ain't closing no eyes, no left eye for that matter. And I like the sound of what he was coming with. And like I said before, I'm just going to go what he's bringing to the table tonight. This brother said he's going to form a ministry that is that'll bring awareness to the debt crisis in this country, much needed. He says he's going to educate. He was educated in paralegal background. He studied and scrutinized the civic and economics. He pretty much is going to use that as a platform to bring in spirituality, mental, to bring in the metaphysical side. But I like what he said here. Now, it's going to take a minute now. We're going to talk about this biblical movement and training, which is very much needed, depending on which direction we're going with, in the light of this debt crisis. He said, Thor Ministry is focused on the consumer protection laws to leverage the playing field against debt collection. Now, many of you can easily understand debt collection because I'm sure at one time or another you received a letter in the mail. He says his ministry also is going to focus on civics, economics, etymology, which is the breakdown of words. And I'd like everybody to use this website. It's easy. It's called Etymology Dictionary. It has a griffin at the top, which is with a winged animal, with a lion with a wing. So you'll know exactly what it is. It's going to be Etymology Dictionary. It gives you the origin of when that word first came into its existence. And when we actually start using it as a people. So I think that's very important. History, spirituality, mental stimulation, health, and preservation. He says his ministry is founded on biblical principles, not religion. You're going to have to explain that to us as well. We serve in the spirit of excellence, integrity, compassion, in all our communities, in all nations, and of the world. Our ministry is made up of everyday people, such as paralegals. Well, we need, paralegals are foot soldiers, y'all, for the most of these lawyers. These lawyers are elegant oratory. Mortgages, professionals, debt collectors, researchers, spiritual advisors, health professionals, medical professionals, and members of many other professions. We are a hugely diversified ministry, inclusive of all nationalities. Our main focus is to bring economic empowerment, education, and edutainment, which is a catchy phrase for, I guess, teachers on entertainment, and regarding having debt responsibility and accountability and knowledge. I have his website at the end of this, which is thorministry.homestead.com. I encourage all of you to click on that. So you got your introduction. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in my brother, who I like for everybody for the first time on Dry Bones Connection. And those of you who know him also throughout other shows, including his own brother, Sharif. How you doing, my brother?
Well, brother, well, peace and blessings. I really thank the introduction, man. Wonderful. Glad to be here on Dry Bones Connection. First time I had an opportunity to visit your house. I'm definitely honored, man. I took my shoes off. Want to keep the carpet clean.
Definitely want to
give respect, man, to you. You know, before I go on anybody's show, I think, you know, you versed it well that, you know, the sisters that is on my team and a part of the ministry, part of the movement that we're trying to do, you know, they're out there. You know, they are the lionesses. They're out there. I'm that lion, and they go out and, you know, they roam the jungle and they see what's going on. And, you know, they came across your site and your call. My sister later called me up, and she said, brother, she said, I think there's a gentleman that you might want to connect with. He sounds good. You know, I like his program. And I said, okay. I said, and she told me about you, and I said, okay. I went and listened to a few shows, and I said, wow, I really respect the brother's will and intent, his content. I just don't go on anybody's show. You know, I try to be disciplined in where I go, but, you know, once I listened to you a few times, I really felt the energy, the positivity. You know, I felt that you were putting out the truth, and I felt you were putting together those skeletons and connecting those dry bones. So definitely I told the sister to make contact and see if you would have me as a guest, and you definitely obliged, and you and I talked, and it was like, you know, we were family. You know, we just hit it. You know, it was a good connection of bones and spirits, because we're dry in some areas as well, you know. So we were able to connect the bones by talking and communicating.
No doubt about that. And doing so, man, I appreciate that. Now, you know, there's a lot of talk out there, and I know you've been out there me and you talked about certain things, and we want to bring everything to the forefront tonight because, you know, we all on these shows, and, you know, everybody got their own perspective on what is really happening. But I tell the people all the time, we don't have to agree on everything, but we can just agree on at least 75% of things. I think we can get somewhere. And I've been noticing that, you know, a lot of these brothers and sisters are now trying to, I think, get the compass straight. They're trying to get into this real straight and narrow so we can really get out of some call what I'll consider the bullshit that's going out there. Now, again, I'm not here to bring any slander to anybody, but everybody knows that you are one of the most popular, let's say, blog shows. And I had the brother on here, Brother Yosef L., and we both had a good dialogue. And so when many of you probably are wondering, you know, on such a successful type of show, what made you motivated enough to just give that up and do your own thing?
Well, you know, of course, you know, we, you know, the house became too small for Thor in High Frequency. I'll just put it in that way. I've never really roommate with anyone. First of all, I want to give props to the platform, High Frequency. He made an invitation to me upon talking to him. We had a conversation. He respected the knowledge and the wisdom and my orator skills. And so he asked me to be a part of that network and bring that information. For whatever reason, I guess he felt the information was needed. I guess he had done enough of vetting of what I was bringing and felt comfortable enough to open up a room for me there. I was not on the talk circuit. I remained in my back cave doing what I do, you know, which is what I talk about, which is debt, dealing with debt matters. And I really, when you stay in your hole, so to speak, you really are not apprised of the lack of information and knowledge that is out there on these on this platform of debt. So when I came out, he invited me to do a show, did a show, and the brother just called me back. He said, man, he said, the people are just, you know, it was one of the biggest shows I've done. He said, I want to have you back on another show an immediate day. And I said, all right. I was surprised. You know, again, when you take things for granted when you're not in the public. So I thought everybody knew at least a little something about the information I was bringing. But based on his response, that was not the case. So he asked me to come back again. I returned back again, and the show was again explosive. And so at that point, he just offered me a platform there. And I thought about it, and it was, you know, I'm very spontaneous. So I said, all right, listen, if the people want that information, I mean, I can share that with them, you know, at length. And that's how we connected together. You know, it was definitely a mutual respect for my avenue and my lane. And I always said that I'm going to stay in my lane. Although I can speak on any lane, my lane is the focus of uplifting the people, not just our people, but the people economically, because, you know, we're suffering in that area. We can't eat right if we don't have money. We can't worship right if we don't have money. I don't really think you can serve your creator if you don't have economic footing. You can't get to your edifice if you don't have transportation, or if you get there, you know, and the debt collectors are, you know, oppressing you, then you're paying high insurance premiums for that car that you're driving there. You're paying a high payment. You know, everything, you're being oppressed in many different ways. So, you know, we got on the platform, I had my own show, things were growing. It was a platform he already had, but I brought that focus in terms of debt collection and foreclosure. And it was a good engagement at that point. You know, subsequently, you know, when you have two gladiators in a cage, you know, eventually there's going to be some clashing. I grew up clashing. I'm from New York, from Harlem. I grew up with slap boxing. I grew up, you know, having arguments with your brothers, slap box, you get your lip busted, your nose might blink, but you love each other. You know, say at the end of the day, once the fight is over, it's done. You know, you go put some ice on your lip and you roll. But nowadays, things change. I mean, there's a lot of sensitivity. There's a lot of, I would say, down talking, you know, and there's no more room for competing views, meaning that, you know, there's more secularism. If you're not down with my clique, you're not down. If you're not Republican and I'm Democrat, you're not down. If you're not on the blue or the red side, then you're not down. See, I'm not with that. I've always been my own individual. By astrological terms, I am a Leo. I am that lion, and that's everything about me is that particular animal. So I am that sun sign, so I'm very dominant. I'm very, very protective. I consider myself a vanguard of the people. I'm fearless, and I bite. So a lot of times when you get in those environments where the information is colliding, I'm going to always stand on my truth, and I'm going to stand on my beliefs. I'm always going to stand on my experiences because nobody can take that from me. When I talk, I know what talking about. And when I get a platform and I'm responsible for delivering word to the people, then I'm amendable to those people, and I need to make sure that the information I'm giving has been vetted, and it's information that I have experienced and done safely before I hand those instructions to you. So that's all I would say. We parted not on bad terms. It was my decision to move Thor into its own house, you know, pay our own rent, do our own bills, decorate the way we want, bring people over, have company when I want, and that was it. And I definitely have nothing negative to say, but I just will say, you know, we have to keep the information, like you said, in the spirit of Maat. You know, that truth, that balance, and that order has to always be there collectively. And that's about it.
That's right.
But, you know, I'm still doing my thing. The people are still over there. I've been blessed.
That's right. Now, for those of you who thought we were going to say any more, we're not. Now we're going to go into what this brother does. Because we ain't going no further, y'all. So don't even get it. This ain't a Housewives of Atlanta on this one here. We need brother, to tell these people tonight, what is your program that is practical, solution-based, and how they can get involved with this without having to be worried of pretty much anything, because it's really in the realms of their rights, and they don't have to go through a lot. So I'm going to let you tell them what is it that you actually do now to help our people in the credit restoration. It's on you now.
Great. Thank you, brother. First of all, I want to give all praises to the Most High allowing us to be here today, to my team, Layla, Lori, and Rudy that's here with me. I created Thor based on instructions from the universe. There was nothing that I planned. I didn't plan to have a platform at all. My background is, as Brother Drybones told you, I have a paralegal background. Been dealing in law, both civil and criminal, for a long time. I wasn't a member of the criminal justice system, so I don't wear that badge, but I've been affiliated with it for quite some time. So I've studied law, and I thought going forward that, you know, I need to make a contribution, since I've been blessed knowing the civil law regarding consumer protection, because we're being, as a country, we're being oppressed by a banking system, by debt collectors, a lane that not really a lot of people have chosen to take. You know, I hear a lot of information regarding how you can, you know, do other things with regards to and respect to debt. Those things I won't get into, but I will say that a lot of those things have put people in worse situations than they were in. Some of them have been jailed for certain things and certain ideologies. And I decided just to bring the people the truth, because in the truth, there is a good bit of money to be made when you understand what debt is and what it isn't, and who a creditor is and who a creditor is not. And that's the biggest part that I think we don't understand. I think many of the platforms that are out there teaches our people, or the people, period, to avail themselves of dealing with, you know, the courts and the judges and the attorneys and the banks. You know, I really don't. You know, I'm that lion. I take them on. I just learn what I need to learn. I've been like that all my life. I find a way in instead of a way out. And if it's something that I fear, I go right to it. And it has to beat me before I fear it. So, you know, the debt collection arena has not beat me at all. They did it at some point before I began educating myself. And now it's absolutely fun dealing with them. So that's what I'm trying to bring to the people, understanding what debt is, because if they're oppressing us not by necessarily many laws, but they're oppressing us by debt. They have us working three jobs. They're breaking up families because, You know, the families are trying to survive by paying sometimes people that is not deserving of that money. So if I felt if I can elevate the people economically and give them the law, something that was safe, something that was real, something that was truthful, that they can hang their hat on, then I felt that I would be doing my job to society. And the universe held me accountable for doing that because I have the skill and the ability to do so. So, you know, when we're talking about debt, I know a lot of – yes, sir.
Now, when you say safe and so forth, give some of the examples when you mention safe. What do you mean by that? Something that's safe.
What I mean by safe is that we all know that we are considered to be in the underground of talk radio. Okay, I really think we're far above ground than what you will hear in the national media. We all know that that's not news.
Of course.
Right. That's
right.
Acting.
That's, right.
That's Hollywood. So in the underground, you're going to hear, you know, things from A to Z. You're going to hear things from, you know, throw this document in, or tell them you are one of the first on this planet, or, you know, or tell them that you're affiliated with some group or some religious sect, or, you know, or do this type of process that'll question a judge or become combative with the judge or ask the attorney for their bar card, you know, all these types of things. I've heard them, brother. I've been around. There's nothing under the sun that I have not heard. There's nothing under the sun that I don't have people around me that has an experience. So what I mean by safe is that within the boundaries of the law, and within the boundaries of the law in this lane, it is absolutely safe for you to understand. You must understand, I'm going to say that, if you don't know the laws that governs your commercial actions, then you're not in the game. If you're playing a game and you don't know what your role is, everybody on this call is a consumer most of the day. You're buying food, you're buying gas, you're buying clothes, you're buying cars, you're banking. You're a consumer
right.
at every turn of your day. And if you don't know the
right.
laws that governs that behavior, then what are you doing?
No, go ahead. Finish up.
No. Yeah, so that's all I teach people is to know who you are. And I know that term is really spread around loosely in the underground, you know who you are. Exactly what that means is know who you are. When you are who you are, are you a consumer? Okay. Well, these are the laws that you need to know. You need to know 15 U.S.C. 1692. You need to know 15 U.S.C. 1681. You need to know 47 U.S.C. 227. Those are the consumer protection laws, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Telephone
Consumer. Do me one favor.
Yes, sir.
Do me one favor. Go slow.
Sure.
Y'all who have
go
pencils
slow.
And
Got
pencils, there's a lot of calls out there. Go slower. And saying that, y'all mark this down and do the research. I want everybody who's on this call, start putting these brothers to the test. Make sure what he's saying is
That's
factual.
Right.
So when you know what he's saying is factual, then you got a brother you can count on when it comes to giving you information. Go ahead, brothers. Finish up.
That's right. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which is 15 U.S.C. 1692. ETAL means at all. That means that entire statute. Okay, then you have the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which is 15 U.S.C. 1681, and then you have the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, otherwise known as the TCPA, 47 U.S.C. 227 ETAL at all, in its entirety. Those three laws, amongst others, is what governs your commercial dealings, activities, and behaviors. I want everybody to remember words that I use because I use them wisely, and I use them in an informational way, meaning the words that I say have meaning. When I say behavior and conduct, I want you to underline those two words. Behavior and conduct is what governs everybody. You know, when people talk about law, they usually talk about the law, but then they don't talk about the behavior and conduct. Let me give you an example of what many communities talk about these days, the traffic laws. The traffic laws are about your behavior and conduct while you're in allegedly a motor vehicle. That means if you're driving, Dry Bones, and you don't make a right turn signal and you make a right, then you broke the law. But you broke the law, but it's your behavior and conduct while you're behind that wheel that subjects you to liability under that statute. I mean, you have to pay $100 because they already have it there. That failure to turn, failure to signal is $50. Behavior and conduct is what governs your actions when you're in commerce. When are you in commerce? When you're using their banking system, when you're using their credit, when you're getting any benefit from any particular agency. If you're using a Social Security number, then you're using their system. If you're using the banking system, then you're using their system. If you're using their banks to get credit, then you're using their system. If you're a taxpayer and you're using certain numbers, you're using their system.
So let me ask you a question before you go any further. In your mind, what is the percentage, because I want statistics as best you can give, that people will be into this, what you just said? What is the percentage you believe that these people, what you just said, people will be into consumer and buying and all that with our people? It's very high, isn't it?
I don't know anybody that would be on this call that is not a consumer in one way or the other. You got that electric,
so,
you got cable, you're a consumer.
100%. That's right. So 100% of these people.
I was just saying, wait a minute. Let me preface that now, because it might be some very wealthy people in a special group that might have enough money to where, but I'm not talking about them. I think everybody on this call, including myself, I am an educated consumer. That's the difference. I'm an educated consumer.
Okay, so like Sim.
I believe in credit. I believe in what this U.S. defines as money, Federal Reserve notes. I have no problem with it. I know how to get it. I know how to get it from the debt collectors. I know how to get it from anybody whose behavior and conduct violates those consumer protection laws. It's a way for me to get it. And I don't have any problem with the banks. Sure, they're abusive. They're oppressive. But they're only abusive and oppressive because we are not educated in what we do every day, and that's be a consumer. So, Jabba, I heard you say something on one of your shows is that we got to wake up and take responsibility, and you and I are 100% on the same wavelength when I say that. We're not – the platforms that we have out there, we're not educating our people. We're making them more dependent. You know, we're hiding things.
Right.
We're doing, you know, there was a game in New York that I remember, which is three-card Molly, you know. And I remember when I was a teenager, you know, my mother gave me $100 to go pay Duke Energy the power bill. And I walked by one of those three-card Molly people, and I had that $100 balled up in my pocket. I was about 14 years old. My mother sent me 125th to pay the utility bill. And the three-card Molly people were out there. And they were like, yo, come on, man. You know, they was doing these. You know how they do. Jobos, they was flipping it. And I was like, man, I seen it. Just tell me which card it is, bro, man. I flipped it over there. He's like, man, you would have won. So they did it to me again. They said, man, tell me, where is that? So I decided to play it, put my $100 down, thinking I can flip it. You know how we are in New York. We try to flip everything.
Yeah.
I said, let me flip this energy money right here. Get me 100, pay the bill. I'll go home happy. Well, I picked the wrong card because we all know those games are fixed. And I went home with a story telling my mother I got robbed, and she didn't fall for it. But at any rate, man, we have to keep our minds clear so we don't fall for the nonsense and that we're playing the game that we understand. I understand the consumer game. I understand who we are. I'm okay with the banks because they don't win against me because I'm educated. I know how to stay in my lane. I honor my contracts. If I get a benefit from something, I don't start out, sign a contract, then flip into this other atmosphere to where I'm just like, hey, I don't have to abide by that because I'm of some nationality or I'm this and that. Or, you know, I happen to disappear into some realm to where I'm not obligated for my contracts. We don't teach that at Thor. We teach you to use the law. And if you use the law and somebody steps out of or goes beyond the ambit of their authority and violates you in some way, you go look at the consumer protection laws and you say, here, you say, oh, you $10,000, but over here you kind of sent me these notices, you was wrong, I did this, and I'm saying that you harmed me to the tune of $7,000, so I'm going to pay you $3,000 and we're going to still be friends. That's how we do it. Now, we don't go after them and say, you know, I don't owe you anything, I didn't get anything, and, you know, yeah, do you do that? Yeah, this is how you do it. You start off with a lender. Right. I'll give you an example, John Bones. You start off with a bank. Let's talk about foreclosure because I know that that's what people are dealing with nowadays.
That's right.
Debt collection and foreclosure.
Right.
So let's talk about that. Many people don't know the difference in debt collection and foreclosure. Many of the people that I listen to out there, many of the people that have platforms or that are aiding the people don't have a clue what they're dealing with. Let's talk about foreclosure and what it is and what it is not and the legal definition of what foreclosure is. Let's talk about what a debt collector is for a minute so people can get a full understanding of what it is, because I don't think people really read, and I know you deal a lot with, you know, the truth, and you deal a lot with etymology, and I hear you, brother, a lot of times you break down words. Foreclosure is a function that is used by a creditor, okay, by a creditor or a lender, all right? That's what foreclosure is. It's a process in which a lender attempts to recover the balance of a loan you owe from a borrower who has stopped making payments to the lender, and then they sell your house or do whatever or try to, you know, regain their collateral. If it's a car, they try to repossess it. Or if it's a house, they try to get the collateral back or get you to pay. That's what foreclosure is. Debacle happened and with the collapse of the real estate market and all the bank fraud and everything else. We all know that there's something called securitization. And with this securitization, we have a lot of people that's built the platform and built businesses providing people with securitization audits, all right, 400 pages, some of them are 600 pages, okay, and you know, this whole thing about securitization, attorneys go in and they argue. I mean, securitization, let me just explain to them in short, because I did securitization for years, okay, and I got out of it. Securitization is just basically, in layman's terms, is a securities and exchange transaction where, and they're going to always have them. Wall Street designed a program where they can slice and dice and put mortgages into a pool, have some investors invest in them so they can clear their books. And basically, you have a bunch of investors that's going to buy a bunch of mortgages. They're going to be hedge funds. They're going to be city and state retirement funds. They're going to be police retirement funds. They're all kind of people that invest in the payments and the money stream of payments coming from every homeowner in this country, okay? And it's legal, okay? It's nothing illegal about securitization. Mm-hmm. It's legal. So, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about it. It's gambling. I mean, yes, it's gambling, but when you look at securitization, the way people talk about it, you have to understand what's the more important thing. The more important thing is not necessarily the securitization. It's what happened to my loan from the time I executed those documents up to this point. And let me tell you exactly what happened. Your loan was sold to somebody else. I don't care who it was. It could have been sold to Wall Street. It could have been sold to the Transformers. It could have been sold to Africa. It doesn't matter. What matters to you is that what happened from the initiation of my loan to now. Who owned it? Who says they own it? Most people fall on this MERS thing. MERS is Mortgage Electronic Registration System. MERS was created by the banks. The stockholders of MERS is the banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all these people, they created MERS. And they created them to electronically hold information. That's it. It's like five employees at MERS. Not a big company. All right? So MERS came in, and, you know, they were there to be the middle person, okay, the hybrid in between the lender and who they were selling it to, the secondary market is what we call it, securitization, the secondary market, okay? So, you know, we had all these theories about securitization. We had all these talk about, well, they sold the loan, and they did, you know, and people was following that, and attorneys was arguing that, and homeowners was buying securitization audits, thinking that those audits was going to, you know, stop the show, and, you know, and we fell for that. What I'd like to focus on is two things, and that's who MERS is and what transition happens with MERS. And I won't get into MERS, but when I hear people talk about it, I'm just like, forget who MERS is. Like, they're a debt collector. Why do I say they're a debt collector? Well, I just explained to you, John Bones, that foreclosures is a function utilized by a creditor. Okay? Now, if you owe somebody and they loaned you money, and that same person is asking you for the money that loaned you the money, you got a creditor in front of you. But if that initial person that loaned you the money sold that debt to someone else after you were in default, okay, that means you missed a month payment, okay, or you missed a day payment, technically, you're in default. So your payment is due June 1st, you miss your payment, and it's June, and you haven't paid. You are now in default. That creditor may call you a couple of times, just like the credit card companies do, and they may say, okay, are you going to pay your payment or not? Or they're going to send you a bunch of letters and say, listen, we need you to pay, you haven't paid. You need you to pay, you haven't paid. After that, the creditor may decide, you know what, this is a defaulting debt. I don't need it on my books. These people haven't paid. I'm going to sell it. All right? I'm going to transfer it. Okay? I'm going to assign it. Those are the words that they use. So they assign it through a company called MERS. All right? And they say, look, the only time you're going to see MERS is when you're in default. Okay? Because they're a part of that transition from a creditor to a debt collector. Because MERS is only going to assign loans normally when you are in default. Okay, so that's where the transition occurs that people don't understand, is that when it went from the original alleged lender, and we don't even know that they were the lender. Well, we know if they were sold into the secondary market that the investors paid for the loan. But we're not going to go there right now. That's a little bit too complicated. Let's just look at the transition. Okay. MERS assigns the loan when it's in default to another debt collector. They make you think they're assigning it to another creditor. But the law says, and I'm going to let y'all point out the law because I'm very specific. If you look at the FDCPA, 15 U.S.C. 1692, and y'all can pull it up on your computer, I'm going to read you a few definitions that I want you to remember. And the information I'm telling you is not information that's going to be good for 3 months or 4 months. You should really understand what I'm telling you because these laws are going to govern everything you do in commerce, period. You should know it. I'm going to read you the definition of the term consumer. 1692A3. Y'all can Google it. It'll come right up. The term consumer means any natural person obligated or allegedly obligated to pay any debt. That's you. All right? Let's go to A4. I'm going to make you understand about the consumer protection laws. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act was enacted somewhere in the 70s, maybe even a little bit sooner, enacted by Congress. It's law, all right? In the 70s, I want you to remember that, all right? So I'm going to read to you the definition of the term creditor, okay, for some of you that don't understand. The term creditor means any person who offers or extends credit, creating a debt. Sounds like a bank, right? Or to whom a debt is owed, meaning that dry bones, I come to your house, hey, bro, can I cut your grass? Yeah, man, but I don't have all the money. Well, can I pay you $20? Well, I charge $100 a month. Okay, well, I don't have the money now. Can I pay you $20 a week? All right, I become a creditor because I'm creating a debt with you, okay? So any person who offers or extends credit creating a debt or to whom a debt is owed would be considered a creditor. That's really plain and clear. And what you will understand about the consumer protection laws is that you're not going to file all that, you know, the two-layered speaking like legalese. These laws were written for you and I, Drombos. They were written for our high school parents that didn't graduate.
Now, let me ask you something. So would this be considered in the realm of somewhat common law because of the common people?
You can look at it like that. You can look at that. That's definitely how I would see it, definitely. Okay?
Okay,
so, all right? So it's telling you what a creditor is. Anybody who offers or extends credit, that's a bank, lending institution, or a debt of a debt, or to whom a debt is owed. And now I'm not going to tell you, but, all right, but such term does not include any person to the extent that he receives an assignment, all right, which is most everybody has, an assignment of your mortgage or your deed of trust or your security deed, for those of you in Georgia, or transfer of a debt in default. All right, that's the magic words. An assignment, this is 1970s, this law came out, and do we not have assignments today? Yes. Assignment or transfer, isn't that what it says, a transfer or assign? Yes. Of a debt in default solely for the purpose of facilitating collection of such debt for another. Now, I'm going to stop. That's the definition of a creditor. I don't care if it's a bank. I don't care if it's the – I don't care who it is. That's the definition of a creditor and what is not a creditor, somebody who receives an assignment of the debt while it is in default, okay? That's a debt collector. There's where the change that everybody is missing. You change lanes when that creditor said, I'm going to assign this debt while it's in default solely for the purpose of what? They're going to foreclose on you. They're going to try to collect the debt. So the law is telling you right there, a creditor is somebody who does this, creates a debt, and then, but they're not somebody who receives that defaulted debt just for the purpose of facilitating collection. I want y'all to read that to yourself. I'm going to read the next definition, which is A5. The term debt means any obligation, foreclosure, credit card, you didn't pay me because I cut your grass, whatever. The term debt means any obligation or alleged obligation, meaning you can just say that I owe it, okay, of a consumer to pay money arising out of a transaction in which, listen closely, in which the money, property, insurance or services, which are the subject of the transaction, are primarily for personal, family, or household purposes. Is that not your house? Is that not your car? Is that not your motorcycle? Or any other credit transaction you may participate in. Whether or not such obligation has been reduced to judgment. That's whether or not, even if they went to court and obtained a judgment, that's what a debt is. Okay? They don't have to differentiate between credit card debt or house. A debt is what they said it is. All right?
Now, let me ask you something because I'm going to use myself because I also was brought in. I was told that my signature paid for that because according to
My signature. I heard that too. I heard that too, man. And let me say something. I talked to you. You're a pretty sharp brother. You're experienced. You've been around. My Lionesses that are on the phone, my team, they've been around on the underground, above ground, side ground. Your signature created a contract. I mean, but, you know, I hear this talk, and I hear all these lip syncers out there that says, your signature created the debt. Then why are you broke? Why are we not rich? Why are you broke if your signature created the debt? Why are you on Blog Talk or something talk or on this TV station with your signature creating the debt? Why haven't you figured out a way to enrich yourself and own your country? Because I'm telling you, I got a nice I write pretty good for a man, and my signature be worth some good money. I'm going to move on from that. But anyway, the term debt is a transaction for personal or family household purposes.
Okay. Makes sense there. Let me say this, too, because I know we at the top of the hour, everybody. Now, I'm not going to bring – I got Credit Man. I got some of your people that you may want me to bring in as you can carry on. But let me know. I don't know. I have looks like Rudy on here. I have – I see Leela. I see Leela. I'm just trying to see who I have on here that's part of your team as we get into the second hour.
Just Leela and Rudy, I think. Yeah, I think Lori texted me. She was a little bit under the weather. So just Rudy and Leela.
Okay, right, I'll get them, and I got Credit Man, but I still want to go into now. Let me just use myself again. Now that I got this debt, I created it. I take responsibility. I created some, and, you know, some got shaking on me. I feel I want to now challenge it. I want to, you know, do the right thing by it. And so I go to somebody like you, and you tell me what?
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, okay, what you got? Well, I got this mortgage, man. I got these people coming after me on an alleged foreclosure. I'd be like, well, brother, first of all, I mean, a debt collector can't conduct a foreclosure. A debt collector can try to collect the debt, but they're very limited. Their lane is right here that I just named to you. You're a creditor or a debt collector? And if you allow me to, I just want to read the meaning of a debt collector, and I'm done with that so everybody understands what we're talking about.
Yeah, go right,
a debt collector.
Go right ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. A debt collector, and I'm in the law, and that's one thing you learn about Brother Sharif. I'm always going, nothing hidden, okay? I don't have this. It's nothing in my drawer. So the debt collector is term A6 under the FDCPA. I haven't moved, and I'm not using 18 different dictionaries. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to keep it plain. The term debt collector means any person who uses any instrumentality of interstate commerce or the mails in any business, the principal purpose of which the collection of any debt, or who regularly collects or attempts to collect directly or indirectly debts owed or due or asserted to be owed another. All right? That's what a debt collector is. So when Mercer signs your mortgage to Aquin, Green Tree, Nation Star, they're assigning that debt while it's in default, and that's where the transition occurs from them being a creditor to a lender. Now, I'm going to give you a quick analogy, brother, and I think it'll make it plain. I loan you money, dry bones, to buy a house, $100,000, right? And you defaulted on it. I might hire Rudy, one of my team, as my servicer. My servicer is like a waiter or waitress in the restaurant. They can serve food. They can make sure you're comfortable. They can't make any big decision. Maybe on refunds, they got to come to the manager. Maybe if they, you know, if they want to change something about what they're doing, they got to go to the manager. They're very limited. That means they do what they're told from the manager or owner. All right? So I'm the owner of your debt. I tell Rudy, hey, you know, go ahead and serve his dry bones. Make sure his payments is due. If he got any problems or whatnot, answer his questions, you know, and whatnot. But don't do anything else. That's your lane. You're a servicer. All right? So Rudy's going to service it, and then you go in default, and I say, you know what, the damn dry bones, I don't even want to deal with him, man. He's always late on his payments. So I'm going to sell the debt, you 2 months behind, I'm going to sell the debt to Layla. And I'm going to say, Layla, look, this dude has been behind. I'm going to go ahead and shut this down. I don't want the account anymore. I'm going to sell the debt to Layla, to a debt collector for pennies on a dollar. The going rate, 4-5%. If you got a lot, if I have a lot of loans, you know, Layla might decide to buy. Hey, listen, how many you got in default, man? I got 100 loans in default, including dry bones. So Layla say, okay, I'll buy them all for 3 cents on the dollar. Let's just use 5 cents on the dollar. So I'm going to sell that loan, which is what MERS do. I'm going to sell that loan to Layla, and Layla's going to call you and say, hey, dry bones, I got your loan from Brother Sharif, and I'm your new creditor. Okay. And you're going to say, oh, most people are going to say, oh, okay, I got you. How much I owe you? But see, me, I'm going to say, what do you mean? Like, when? So you got the account now? Yeah, you owe me money. Well, you know Layla bought it for 5 cents on the dollar, right? Layla didn't pay $100,000 for it. Layla paid what? $5,000. 5% of 100, $5,000. Why? Because that's how the debt collection, the debt buying market work. I can't buy that from you. I don't know if Dry Bones going to pay. I mean, I got to take them to court. I got to pay for all those expenses. I'm buying it for you for a nickel on the dollar. You know, it's just defaulted paperwork. Well, what I'm going to do, Dry Bones, is I'm going to go ahead and do my profit and loss statement, and I'm going to say what? I lost a $100,000 loan with Dry Bones because he didn't pay me. So I'm going to write that off against my tax liability. So if I owe $200,000 in taxes, then I'm going to say, nah, I had to write off Dry Bones loans, so that's $100,000, so I only owe you $100,000. Or I had 10 loans like Dry Bones. You understand what I mean? So I'm getting credit somewhere as the originator of that transaction. I'm going to write it off. I'm going to sell it to Layla, and Layla's going to come to you and say, you owe me 100%. You owe me $100,000. All right? That's what's happening out there. That's what happens when Mercer assigns it to somebody in default. And then now, what Layla does is Layla tries to act like she's me. Layla gets her a servicer, okay? Or somebody else to say, hey, what's up, Dry? We need those payments, man. You don't get those payments, we're going to have to snatch that house from you, okay? And you not knowing, you're going to start paying Layla. And you're going to pay Layla the same amount you were paying me. But you didn't understand that transaction occurred. You understand?
Now, let me ask you this, because I know you, and I'm going to let you explain this more thoroughly, too. Now, according to what I was told, of course, and you correct this, you don't have to pay a third-party creditor because, of course, he's not part of the original transaction, according to what they've been telling us. Is that correct?
I would say, well, from the simple math that I did, I don't think you have to pay. Well, let me ask you this. Why would you pay Layla the same thing that you paid me when I lent you the $100,000 and Layla only paid 5% for it? Why would you? Do you have to pay a third-party debt collector? I wouldn't because I know that transaction occurred. Should you pay? I mean, can Layla act like she loaned me money, lent me money when she didn't? Can Layla collect the same amount that I didn't know? So do you have to pay a third-party debt collector? I definitely wouldn't, because I know they have little interest in that transaction, definitely not being the original creditor, I don't have anything to say to you. Well, I bought your debt. Well, congratulations. You know, you should have let me know where you bought it. I don't know what debt you're talking about. What debt?
Exactly. And play it off. Now, those of you, Layla, Rudy, I don't see you, Rudy. If you hit the number one button, I'll be glad to bring you in on the number that was given to me. So if you please do that, I'll bring you in. Also, I got Credit Man I'm about to bring in, too. Now, let me ask you this, because this is what the big deal is about. Because, of course, most of you on this call, some of you have done this, and some of you haven't. Those of you who have not, listen carefully, because you learned a lot tonight in how to deal. This is pretty much something that is homework, so I suggest you just listen and do it, because I can do this almost. And remember, I told you, I tell everybody, we need to make books for dummies, and I'll be the first to buy it, because he's going to keep it plain in layman's term, because our people are called the common people, y'all. So we need to understand that, because they're using, like you said, legalese is abracadabra. We'll go through abracadabra. That's another show. Now, let me just say this. I did all that. Now, I got this. I'm to that point, and you mentioned the Fair Credit Report and that. Now, once I get to fix my credit and start to do the right procedure, there's going to be a process where the lawyers are going to be needed to, say, compensate me for the damages that were on that credit report that shouldn't have been there. Or is it able to be done by oneself? Tell me about that, how that works. Because if you're at that point where you follow the procedure, can one do it himself to get revamped for what the credit people did to your credit report? Because that's what most people have now. They got bad credit reports. We got a lot of bad credit reports. People are on these credit reports that shouldn't be on these.
Yeah, definitely. One of the downfalls of our society is that, you know, we think we're in foreclosure. That's the first transition we need to make mentally and emotionally and spiritually. You're not in foreclosure because a debt collector can't utilize foreclosure. That's a creditor related action. But secondly, I don't prepare people and educate people to necessarily use the attorneys. This is what I do. I think you can use an attorney better when you know what they're supposed to do. When you know just as much as they know, because you're a consumer more throughout the day than they are to you.
Right.
So, yes, you deserve to get damages, and I think you can do it yourself. And that's what Thor prepares people for, is to be able to do it. And it's not hard. It's really not hard. I'm just telling y'all, this is not – I know everybody on your call just as well as you, Dry Bones. We've been in those circles where these guys bring out 20 dictionaries and slice and dice and bring up 20 different appellate court cases and 20 Supreme Court. They back down to 1933. They go to AD 12 and bring you up, and you spin it like you're in a Scooby-Doo cartoon. It's not necessary. This is what it is. You know, the thing is listen to the law and read the law for yourself, and I'm giving it to y'all. If y'all read it, it's all of 8 pages, I think. Let me look. The meat and potatoes of the FDCPA is about 12, 13 pages, okay? 12, 13 pages. That law in itself can represent hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage. Many people are under misconception. They see a $1,000 liability in 1692K, and they're like, oh, it's just $1,000. That's nonsense. Do you understand? You have something called actual damages. You have something with the FCRA called punitive damages. You understand? Those damages are – what is actual damages? Let me go into it. Your emotional, intentional infliction of emotional distress. Okay? What is actual damages? Well, I paid you $20,000, realized you was a debt collector, and you wasn't entitled to that money. So I have actual damages of $20,000. Oh, I had to go listen to Dry Bones last week, and I had to pay $100 to listen to this session to learn about what you were deceiving me on. That's another $100. Okay, so those are actual damages on top of, you know, punitive damages, depending on whether their behavior was egregious. Most of these banks out there, yes, their behavior, Ocwen, Greentree, NationStar, their behaviors are atrocious. They are disconnecting people from their homes and their debt collectors without no interest in it or very little interest in it. Again, I ask you, Dry Bones, if you sue me and say I owe you $100,000, but I only paid 5% for the debt, then you have to have a damage, a financial interest or a damage when you go to court. You're going to say, Dry Bones didn't pay me $100,000, but you only paid 5%. So you're not injured
right.
to the amount of $100,000. You didn't even loan that money. You bought it for pennies on the dollar, but they're suing you, telling you, you know, oh, you owe us the $100,000. Let me tell you another thing, modification, same thing. So you get with the debt collector offer you a modification. You need to be careful of that. I'm not telling you not to do it, because if you don't have the knowledge and experience, then you need to save your home by all costs. But I'm just telling you, if I told you they only paid on a $100,000 loan, they only paid $5,000, and they're going to tell you what, you're behind, you know, 2 years, and we're going to do this mod, and we're going to knock off a little bit, but basically we're going to get over and beyond that $100,000. We only paid $5,000. Now we're going to get you to sign a new loan with the debt collector. Because remember, I'm gone.
Right.
I sold my thing to Layla. Layla's gone. Layla's off with it now. I'm out of it. Okay? So this is what we have to understand, my brother, and we have to understand what's happening and who we're paying. We're responsible for knowing. We're responsible. We need to ask questions. You know, you don't use QWR, qualified written request, with debt collectors. You know, everybody download the internet, I'll send them a QWR. Well, do you know who they are? Do you not see that they said that they're a debt collector? Why would you send a QWR? A QWR is a creditor-related document. That's for creditors. They're not creditors. Why are you sending a monkey an apple? You send a monkey a banana, okay? You got to know the difference. Well, that's a monkey. Okay, I need to give him a banana. I don't need to give him an apple. So, you know, this is what we have to learn, and we got to get away from the cookie-cutter stuff. We have to know and identify what we're dealing with, and we're dealing with debt collectors, meaning that you have a lot more power than most of us think. And we need to stop following all this foreclosure nonsense and feeding into the foreclosure frenzy, because foreclosure can only be done by a creditor, period. Nothing sticks, I want you to understand that, yes.
I got a question here from one of the sisters, which I wouldn't have known to ask you this. It says, ask them, does the mortgage or the security deed allow assignment to be transferred to the different lenders? Got me.
listen, is it legitimate for a lender to assign a loan? Yes, it's legal for them to securitize, as long as they do it properly. But what you're finding is most of them didn't do it properly. So then you can say, well, listen, you didn't securitize that loan. And I hear all these securitization artists, these guys are supposed to be this and supposed to be that. I was good at what I did. So I know when I hear somebody whether they're good. They'd be like, well, my loan was securitized. I'd be like, you already lost. What do you mean you lost? He said it was securitized. Yeah, it wasn't securitized. I can promise you it was. Yes, it was. It's right here. The securitization man said it was securitized. I'd be like, it wasn't. Why? Because it wasn't done properly. Do you understand? If it wasn't done properly, it wasn't done. So when you hear these guys talk about, oh, it's securitized, why are you going into that? Like, what does that have to do with anything? Can a debt collector securitize anything? No. A debt collector has one lane, and their lane is governed under the FDCPA, the FCRA, and your state consumer protection laws. That's their lane. Nothing else. No assignments, no notices of default, none of that stuff. They're piggybacking Dry Bones off of the creditor relationship, the mortgagee-mortgager relationship that the bank had with you. They're not the bank, though. And they didn't put the money out. The bank did, even if the bank put out that money.
Okay. Now, let me go in here. Now, I got Rudy. Now, for those of you who never heard of his, people that's with him, Rudy, for those of you who do, was on with one of my favorite people, Rod Class. Who's on Talk Shoe Radio. I was turned on to Rodcast by one of my good friends, Ngoni. Wow, she turned me on to them, and I listened to Rod, and Rod is just full of information. Rod calls himself the Attorney General, and Rod has been to court on numerous occasions. But one thing about Rod Class, when he loses, he comes back and says, this is what I lost, and now we got to find out why. I thought that was very interesting. I thought that was somebody who said he's playing chess. He knew the chess game. I went in and pulled a knight on me. I got to come back now and get my rook right and maybe sabotage his ass with the bishop. But that's the way he thinks. And it was a pleasure to bring this sister on. I will bring her on, and then I'm going to bring in Brother and Kimba on, Credit Man, in the next few. Go ahead, sister. Glad to have you on OE Dry Bones. I've heard you myself on a few occasions. You probably didn't know it, but glad to have you on tonight. How are you doing? Sister Rudy? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
We can hear you now.
Can you hear
I hear
me
you
now?
Now. I hear you wonderfully.
Okay, fantastic.
I know you've been in this game.
Listen, thank you.
I know you. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say thank you so much for having Thor here, and I'm very happy to be a part of Thor. In reference to Rod Class, yes, he has discovered some wonderful information, especially with those congressional records. And when you think about what Brother Sharif has said, these laws have come down from Congress. And what Brother Sharif is doing, he's taking these very laws and he is communicating and he's teaching everyone from what I would call the rabbit to the giraffe. He's sharing information and changing lives. And so what Thor does is meet you where you are and take you where you need to go with economic education and empowerment, but with laws that protect you. These laws are written for you. This is your umbrella to get up underneath. And with that, we bring the enlightenment to the emancipated, which is now the total freedom for you. And so people need to really understand, like I said, these laws were written for you. And if you learn them, they're very basic. They protect you from those people who are continuing to take your wealth from you.
And that's pretty simple. And I like that part because it's designed for those of us and to simplify it. Because when we do get into all this complex lingo, it does confuse a lot of people. And I noticed that that's when we get confused, we get nervous. And when you get nervous, you're not your real self. You don't have the confidence. And by reading what I'm doing and what he's doing and what Credit Man has even brought to the table, and I'm going to bring him in as well, because he was the one who actually turned me on to you, Brother Sharif. Credit Man, you out there?
Okay.
Credit Man. And Kimbo, you ain't sleeping, is you? We had you on the line that long. 8848, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. That's where's the camera? I'm sorry, Malika. Hold on, hold tight. You'll be able to ask questions. Soon as we get, we'll take some questions from the people. But and Kimba, I want to bring you in here because you were at the top. Let me see if you're here. Bear with me, everybody, because I told him I'll bring him in. But go ahead. 8317. Is you and Kimba? Was not. Well, he'll call. If you want to call in, Kim, call again, and I'll text me the number you on now because I do not see your number. But go ahead, brother and Sister Rudy. I'll go ahead and continue. Now, the question I want to ask you, say, for instance, we get the credit state situated. What will we file far as letting them people or the courts know that, you know, we're going into damages? Credit
right.
How, well, how would that
be? You can do it a couple of ways. You have to use both your state and federal consumer protection laws. Your state always has some version of consumer protection laws. It could be unfair, deceptive practices, or some Consumer Protection Act. Why? Because it's an area that is governed by the state and the feds, okay, and the federal government. They govern all activities. Y'all know that. Smoking cigarettes, driving, walking down the street, jaywalking. You know, there's something for every conduct and behavior that we engage in. So starting from there, you want to communicate with that debt collector. First of all, the biggest thing is what I teach is identification. Who are you talking to? Who is talking to you when that demanding debt collectors or are they creditors? Do you have a one-on-one relationship with them that's supported by some contractual agreement? Or was this contract is somebody else calling, a middleman? A servicer. A servicer, to for everyone to know, is a debt collector. If I'm Dry Bones' creditor and you're not talking to Dry Bones is not talking to me and he's talking to an intermediary, they're a debt collector. Why? Because me as the creditor is telling somebody else something to tell Dry Bones. So if Dry Bones have a problem with it because he's not talking to me, Dry Bones has to tell the servicer, tell Brother Sharif I dispute that debt or he's wrong. I don't owe him owe him $50,000. So that middle person, that servicer, is always going to be a debt collector because they're getting information from me to go to you, Dry Bones, and from Dry Bones is going to them. So what that is, the way the law is set up, is that that servicer, that intermediary, doesn't have any firsthand knowledge. They only know what I tell them and then what you tell them. If you tell them something to tell me, they don't know whether the information I'm telling them, if I tell them, go down there and kick Dry Bones' door in and do it because I said it, they're going to do it because I said it. But, yes, sir.
No, I brought in Kimber. Go ahead, brother. Finish what you had to find him. Go ahead, brother. Finish.
So your servicers are another fancy word for debt collectors. That's why when I tell people, oh, my servicer, I'll be like, don't be quick to say they're a servicer. Look, debt collectors have servicers, too. You know, they're debt collectors. And they're, most of the time, they're going to tell you that they're debt collectors. Well, people don't understand why, and that's because they're not the creditor. They're the in-between. They're the go-between. So the law allows me to dispute what that middle person is saying and say, go to Brother Sharif and tell him I owe him $100,000, I owe him nothing, or I owe him $20,000. And if you don't, the law says I can hold you accountable and Brother Sharif accountable for not following that dispute or not complying with the law and how you're supposed to handle that dispute. And I'll say one last thing, and you can bring the brother in. I will say people have to understand that the consumer protection laws is not about the debt. In other words, for the street being the left, I can violate the law and still have a good debt. It's about conduct and behavior. I told you I disputed the debt. You didn't do what you're supposed to do to dispute that debt with Brother Sharif. You just basically went and did what you wanted to do. So then you're liable under the consumer protection laws. And that's all I have to say on that.
Okay, yeah, so you basically saying we didn't have, when you say behavior, meaning that we didn't take the proper steps to
that's right
ratify what they would be able to do to us.
That's right. Good explanation.
Okay.
Yes,
here's a brother who been on the show quite a few times and well known to many, credit man up in the St. Pete, Tampa area, doing a wonderful job in credit restoration. He is actually the conduit to the connection with Brother Sharif. How you feel, brother? How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, we hear you well.
Oh, you're clear, brother.
Oh, okay. Hey, Brother Sharif, Brother Dorian.
Hey, man.
Yeah, appreciate
good.
It. Listen, first I'd like to say
to
that
you,
can you hear me? Okay. First of all, I'd like to say that, you know, I appreciate I listened to both you and Yusuf El for, I think, about a year now. Brother Jami turned me on to y'all. Yeah, I think it's about a year ago, and I've been impressed with actually both of y'all. And I really appreciate the way you articulated y'all's differences and you handled it in a diplomatic way, very professional, and I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've been working in credit restoration, you know, for about 15 years now, and I agree with everything that you put forth. Now, one obstacle, we were using an attorney there in Miami, and I turned Brother Dorian on to him to sue the credit reporting agency, not so much the collectors. We're going to definitely use you for the collectors, but I didn't hear you say much about suing the credit reporting agency, so we were going to use this attorney
sure.
in Miami, and he's really dragging his feet. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with how long it would take, but
dragging his feet. He's a quicksand.
But now I have expressed my, my uncomfortableness with them, with Dorian, with this gentleman. So I've been telling them, let's get on a Sharif show because I'm on it almost every Tuesday, even the Thor. Now I'm on Thor as well, and I want to know if we can use you or you can kind of guide us in suing not only the collectors but the credit reporting agencies. Is there much of a difference in suing the credit reporting agencies as it is the collectors?
Oh, no. I mean, I did a show the other day on the power of the credit reporting agencies. I know in our neck of the woods, we talk a lot about the government power and the banks, but I did a show where I broke down the significance of these credit reporting agencies. These credit reporting agencies control commerce. You can say what you want about the banks. They make commerce stop or go. Yes, you can sue the credit reporting agencies, and you should, because a lot of times They're part of the problem in reporting information, erroneous information. Man, you almost it's almost like you in court when you're trying to challenge something on your credit report to get them to take it off. Okay, so, you know, yes, they've been sued. The biggest lawsuits come from suing the credit reporting agencies, and you should. Now, about an attorney, I'm going to say this. If an attorney doesn't jump on your case, okay, when you give it to him, if he looks at your case, he'll be like, oh, okay, I see that. I like that. Now, what the good thing about the consumer protection laws, and I'll say this to the people in foreclosure, is that I deal with a lot of attorneys and paralegals, and I tell them all the time, don't worry about the foreclosure. Hire that attorney if he has the knowledge of the consumer protection laws, and not every attorney does. You got to understand, you really have to be in this field, in this field. You can't be doing divorce and real estate law and the consumer protection laws. You just can't. You know, just like, you know, a lot of these gurus can't be versed on every topic. You really have to choose something and let that be the centerpiece of what you're doing. But if that attorney didn't jump on it, it's because he really doesn't know. Because if he looked at a case and it looks that good, all of his fees is paid by the losing party. So you don't have to pay under the consumer protection law, you don't have to pay that attorney anything. He gets all of his fees. You know, I sent over an email to my listeners and my supporters about a case, a guy in Florida, right down there. He had an $800 debt from a debt collector. And they screwed up consumer protection law, and he got an attorney. And he won $124,000, okay, off an $800 debt, all right? And the attorney's got $100,000, and he got $20-some thousand just for them trying to collect the $800 debt. I said that for two reasons, to let you know that it's not a meatball case when you sue over the consumer protection law, and secondly, the type of money that an attorney can make on it. So if he hasn't jumped on it, this is why I try to teach people and empower people to educate yourself, because you can do it yourself. And definitely I'll be glad to get with you and Credit Man and put together some things from the credit reporting agency side, because, yeah, they get sued all the time. They are a big, big informational source. They give that information to the banks. They control what your credit score is. These credit reporting bureaus and agencies will dictate whether you're paying a 10% interest rate and a 5% interest rate. So they can essentially put you in poverty because of the information that's contained in your credit report. It's sort of like your civil record, like a criminal record, but your civil record. You know, that information has been in there from the time you had credit, 15, 16, 18 years old, college. So, you know, they hold a lot of information, and if they report the wrong information, you can pay, you know, 10%. You know the difference in 5% and 7% on a car or a home. That's huge.
That's right.
Insurance premiums. Insurance premiums. They pull your credit now for everything. They pull your credit for a job. You understand? They determine whether they're going to employ you based on your credit report. So, yes, these credit reporting agencies, which is why these laws exist, 15 U.S.C. 1681, Credit Man will tell you it exists because they are powerful in that they can put you into, period, poverty. They can have you out there having three jobs because you're paying a higher insurance premium. You're paying 21% on your car loan, okay? You're paying two deposits because you're trying to rent a house, okay? If they finance you, you're in secondary finance, meaning you're paying 20-something percent, you know, based on the usury law of your state. They're huge. So, you know, I'm an advocate of going after those reporting agencies when they don't delete public records that they can't verify. They can't verify whether you did a bankruptcy. How are they going to pull information from the court about a lien, and the court doesn't report that information to the credit bureaus? What they have is little information seekers, and they go into courts, they go in, and they report information about you, they match up the name, and they say, okay, yeah, that's your lien. They put that on there, and then you dispute it, and they say, no, we looked into the county record, and that information is true. Well, who said it was true? Did you call the Internal Revenue Service? Did you get power of attorney to verify with the Internal Revenue Service didn't report that information? So many ways you can go after the credit reporting agencies, and yes, you should.
So
yes, I will definitely work with you.
So is it like a win-win? Because to me, you just said the lawyer would get a certain amount, and the individual would get out of $124,000. You say how much did the person get?
The lawyer got $100,000, and he got $20-something. Still a good deal,
okay,
but it tells you how much the lawyers would get. Right, right. But let's look at it in practicality for the people commonly. If you had 800 then and you end up winning 24,000, you still do a better off. I know the score is getting over because that's the game, y'all. I don't think that game can be stopped until we understand the British, the bar, which is connected to the British Accredited Registry over there in old lovely England. But we're not going to get rid of that no time soon. So we have to look at and where to win our battle. So
sure.
If you had 8, I think I would definitely go for the 24. I mean, you game.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing, yeah. I mean, look, the attorneys, I know people have different opinions about attorneys. And I would just say, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to say it like this, and I might offend some people. I think what we have a problem with is our lack of knowledge and education on commerce and on being a consumer and what a creditor and debt collector
right.
can do. The attorneys is only
right.
doing what they went to school to do. And you may take it as oppression when the book is right there in front of your face, and if you read it, you'll be like, oh. So when you sit down with the attorney, you may be like, all right, let me tell you what I got here. This is what I do. Let me tell you what I got here. I got a violation of 1692F. I got a violation of 1692G, and then they did some impermissible credit pulls, and that's what you got. You know what? You know, I need you to go ahead and go after him. He's going to look at him. He's like, okay, I'm gone. Why? Because they're going to rack up attorney fees, okay? So you can use the Bar Association to do their job when you know what their job is. But you can't hate them when the law is right there in front of your face, brother. You can't hate them when they're reading the same thing you're reading. The truth is always going to prevail, period.
I agree. I agree with that because no matter what, until something comes different than what we have, we need to learn how to maneuver through this, y'all, because many of us are credit-related problems and many of us are in foreclosure. So the handling of that is very much needed. Let me ask you, Rudy, because you've been on the most far right. I don't want to say far right, but you've been to pretty much a very extreme focal point of this. What made you change in seeing your movements?
Well, I won't say that I've changed in my movement. What I will say, I became more concentrated. I'm a seeker of truth and knowledge, and you have to start and have a beginning and a base so that you know where you're going. Again, like I said, these laws did come down from Congress, and these are the laws that have been put forth for us. And so when you find the niche that you need to help educate and empower a people, and you can put your foot or your hand on where the laws come from, then you take what you've received and you take it and you go and do what you need to do with it. This is powerful for people. I'm not so much concentrated about or concerned about what happened in 1933 or what happened in 1929. I'm concerned about what's going on right now with the poverty of the people and the laws that we have, the education and the teaching that Brother Sharif is bringing forth so we can reach out to a humongous amount of people. We can educate the people. We can bring them out of poverty. Because when you think about where they really are, okay, once you have your debt, if the debt is indeed written off, the debt is written off, and then the debt collectors purchase the debt, and they put you into a form of persecution and prosecution, and you have no idea what's going on. That needs
to
be attended to, and that's where
that's
my focus is. And when I found this niche, when I found this area, when I heard Brother Sharif, I hunted him down to communicate with him to say, this is the piece I was missing. This is what I wanted. This I can see that can help a people. So that's why I am where I am, doing what I'm doing.
All right. And I ask you that because, you know, by me listening to you from pretty while back and up until now, I know you know what you're talking about based off a lot of the information you was getting. Now, let me ask this because I know I'm reading some of this.
Let me stop you for a second so I can clarify something for you, okay? I've been in ministry
right
for 28 years. Okay, I've been in ministry for 28 years. And when you see people oppressed, no matter where they live, what they look like, or anything else, when you see a mass of people oppressed by any type of machine and you have the knowledge or you can put your hand on somebody with the knowledge, you need to embrace that. We all need to embrace the education and help people who don't understand to a point where they can understand. We need to teach them how to fish for themselves. how to take care of themselves. Right. It's not that we don't make the money. It's just that we don't get to keep the money. We make money.
That's right.
We just don't get to keep it because somebody else has maneuvered a way of how to take it from you before you can even get your hands on it.
That's right.
That's true. And we're at a point in time. And that's a good focus. We in the media, really. We can look at the past. Those of us who know how to connect the dots fast, I don't oppose going into the past. I oppose the fact that if you talk about what you just said in 1933, by now it had already changed. With Obama and Bush and all the presidents, they have created executive orders, y'all. All that what we used to talk about back then is pretty much null and void in so many ways based on some of the executive orders that's been passed that many of you don't read. I can go, you know how I am, y'all. Executive orders are something that I don't understand how anybody would not be afraid of. That's automatic by decree. You know, forget what Congress say. Forget what the Senate say. This is it. And we don't even fear. So these people are giving you practical information that you can use right now. Because many of you are in
right
that
now.
Situation. Now, let me ask
right.
some questions.
Right
I see you got a... I see you got the Bible and a few other things. I'm gonna take a couple calls. I see a couple calls, and I want to get a few answers out of that because that format you got there. But let me take a few calls because their hands are up tonight.
Did you open up, brother
Driver?
Did you open up Sister Layla's line?
Hold on, let me see. Sister
1708. Yeah, she ends in 1708.
There she go. I see it, but she don't have her hand up. She don't have her hand in the thing. But I'll put it.
That's
I'll put
right.
her in. Yeah. Sister, you in there, Sister Layla?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yes, you didn't have your hand up, so I didn't know if you just wanted to be listening to all this information, but you in the line now. So just let me get a few information, and I'll get back to you, too. I want to get have a few people ask a few questions because I see their hands up. Let me go to 7777. Go ahead, 7777. Make it brief and make it question or comment. Go ahead, 777. You're in 305.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Brother Devil?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Go ahead. Make a comment. Make a comment.
I'll
give a question to the brother.
Just a quick question. Is there a singular format that they have come up with on your guest, that is. I appreciate them for sharing the knowledge that they can, not necessarily share, but I guess they each provide a different type of service. Are they working together and they have a format that they can actually, anyone that's interested in the services can come to them, or do we have to go to each of them individually?
We're a team, brother. Yeah, we're a team, and we have, if you want to talk about process, what we do is a little bit different than everyone else. We kind of give you the education because we feel it's important that you know when, where, what, why, and how, and we kind of educate you to do it yourself. And it's not hard, brother. So when you ask for a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step process, yeah, we do. I have webinars that are available. I've done almost 10 webinars. That, 4 or 5 hours of me going, and you see the brother had to slow me down, so I try to put as much information as I can. And we also have an archive of shows, man, that if you really listen to my shows, there's nothing that I hide. I'm not a carburetor. I cannot hold back on information. I don't give it to you in bits and pieces. I give you something that you can use now. You'll hear testimonials on my show. Week to week, people are having success and elevating their economic stability. So, yeah, definitely come to my show, go through my archives. As far as information, we teach you how to dispute debt. I have a webinar teaching you how to clean up your credit, all of that. So we do have if you want to think about it, a cookie-cutter process to understanding and dealing with your debt situation.
All right, let me go to 7592. 7592, OE Drive Bones, you're on the air. Comment or question?
No question.
Go ahead.
I said I have no question.
Okay, you had your hand up. Okay, no question. Let me go to somebody else. Remember, y'all hit the one button. We going to you. Let me go to 1-877.
Greetings, Dry Bones.
Greetings.
Hello, sister. How are you?
I got you.
I'm
how
so
you
fine.
Feeling? Tonight? All right.
I'm doing great.
Go ahead, comment question.
Yes, ATL is treating you well. And hello, Brother Sharif. I'm enjoying the show. And hello, Layla.
Hello.
And Rudy. I wanted to tell you that I definitely agree with so everything you're saying. Education is so important. A lot of us just don't know. And because we don't know, we make a lot of mistakes. So that's wonderful that you have this forum tonight. My question is from earlier when you stated about the mortgage being sold through MERS when you're in default, and it's sold for pennies on the dollar. And because of that, the creditor really doesn't have the right to ask for the full amount. And then my question would be on the here in Georgia on the security deed, it allows you to the lender to assign. How do you get around that portion of saying that they're a creditor, they didn't pay full value, they paid pennies on the dollar, so therefore they can't collect it all.
Definitely, and that's a good question, and I'll definitely give you a short and sweet answer. I don't deal with MERS. MERS is nothing more than a debt collector. If MERS is working, transferring debt, first of all, we know that MERS doesn't have employees. We know that although MERS on these assignments, you'll see two key words, and I want you to look them up. I want all of y'all to look it up. I want you to look up valuable consideration. This is important for everybody and for you, sister, for you to understand what language is on these assignments and these transfers, whether it's security deed, deed of trust, or mortgage. Valuable consideration. We've been beating these assignments for 10 years, the laws, the legal association, the bar association, the courts, and nobody's ever defined it. Well, I define words when I'm reading. I'm going to read to you the definition of valuable consideration because that's what's on these assignments. It says valuable consideration was hereby given to MERS, or it says valuable consideration or some derivative of that, but basically valuable consideration. Does anybody know what valuable consideration is? I don't think anybody would raise their hand because you really have to read it. Valuable consideration means, okay, valuable consideration can include money, work, performance, assets, a promise, or abstaining from an act. That is the legal definition of valuable consideration. Every assignment in this country has that language, or consideration, or valuable consideration. Have we ever stopped once to ask, what is valuable consideration? Well, I just told you it can be money or it can be non-monetary. It can mean I promise to clean your roof for that assignment of the debt. Or performance. I agree that if you let me steal that person's house, I'll give you a piece of it. Do you understand? So, or promise. I promise that I'll do something. So if all of these assignments from MERS, and nobody sued MERS and won yet, okay, so I don't even talk about them. If all those assignments have valuable consideration, then are they not telling you that they necessarily did not pay money for it? So that if they didn't pay money for the assignment, what did they pay? How can they sue you for money? How can they ask you for money? So I don't get around MERS. I just ignore them. I say that that assignment is exactly, I'm going to tell you, sister, what it is. If you look in the FDCPA, I want y'all to write that right quick. And I'll say this to you right quick. You look in the FDCPA under 1692J, okay? 1692J, I'm going to read it right quick. It is unlawful to design, compile, and furnish any form, knowing that such form would be used to create the false belief in a consumer that a person other than the creditor of such consumer is participating in the collection of or in an attempt to collect the debt such consumer allegedly owes such creditor, when in fact such person is not so participating. Does that sound like MERS to you? Yes. Is it unlawful to furnish a form that's recorded in the county that gives a legal visual to a consumer that this merch is involved? Well, I just told you it's no valuable consideration. I just told you they're saying that they assigned it. I'm telling you that merch can't assign something they don't have. And then what about the assignments where they're saying they're assigning a note and the mortgage? Well, we know merch doesn't hold notes. So it's no secret about merch. You ignore them and you say, is this the form that you're relying upon for standing, that assignment? That's the only thing they have. When it's assigned from the bank to the debt collector, right, that assignment is what gives them what? They say is what gives them the right to demand money of you. I take that assignment and I said, who signed that assignment? No, and the mortgage, merch never holds that. So that's a violation of 1692. It's a violation of 1692EF, 1692J. That's all I say against the debt collector. If I beat the assignment and show that that assignment didn't confer to you any interest, it didn't give you any standard, and it didn't give you any authority to demand anything of me, what does the debt collector have? You're not going to win on MERS. You're not going to win suing them. You're not going to – I mean, and then let me just say one other thing so people understand. MERS is not even around anymore. Do y'all know how many times MERS changed their name? So we talk about MERS, and we don't even know that – they're not even named MERS anymore. They've had four name changes. This information, that's why we need updated information. We need to know who we're,
we need
to do study, and we need to know who we're talking to and who we're dealing with and who we're not dealing with. We're talking about people that are dead. MERS is dead. Mortgage Electronic Registration System is dead, sister. So hopefully that answers your question. The key word is valuable consideration. What is that? If the debt collector paid two bags of potatoes and a glass of wine for your mortgage, then what do you owe them? Two bags of potatoes and a glass of wine, right? Unless they can define what valuable consideration is.
Now, let me ask you a question, and we're going to keep this going. Let me just take one more, because this is almost up the hour. I mean, I see somebody's been holding for a minute. Let me take this call right here. 3718, you're on the air. 3718, comment, question on OE Dry Bones.
How you doing, Brother Dry Bones? Brother Sharif, this Ken.
What's going on, bro?
What's up?
Quick question for you. I was just going through and trying to figure out and was thinking, how does a person, or when you're giving this information, does not apply what you're giving and then still have the excuse of issues coming against them? Can you kind of give us some examples?
Good question.
You know, that's a good question. And Ken, just to let y'all know, he's over my show. Ken is a former debt collector. He was up there. He was in the ranks. I did a show with him, and he follows us wherever he goes, and he provides his support. You know, Dry Bones, and that's something you and I talk about. We perish from a lack of knowledge. Now that I've put the knowledge out there, and I've given it to you in its entirety, you can ask me any question. I'm not going to duck and dodge from you. I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to say go study. I'm going to point out to you where you need to go. And if you decide to go, there's your choice. I'm just giving you alternatives. So I don't understand why people have these problems, because I think we just drop bones, and I think we just think it's so difficult. We're so used to so many slick talkers using 18 dictionaries and 15 laws and going back to 1920 to make a point, and that confuses the people. And it's just like, you know what? That guy just sounds too complicated. I'm going to stand still. And that's how the debt collectors benefit. The law is simple. Just read the FCRA, read the FECPA, and read the TCPA, and those three laws will keep you in your lane and keep you happy. You'll have good credit. You'll know when you're dealing with a debt collector. You'll be more responsible. You'll know what your role is. And that's I'm just trying to bring that truth to the people. It's nothing hidden about what I talk about. I'm going to show you the law and let you read it for yourself. I'm not going to hide it from you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because I say I've been around quite a few people, and I know exactly where you're coming from. Now, let me ask you a question, because this is getting ready. We're getting ready to get into some – we got some time, y'all. If y'all want to go over, I may ask the brother, do you mind going over? I can't take it for granted.
I'm here
you might
for
not have some.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Okay.
This is a four-hour show, brother, so this is nothing for us. This is like a lunch break.
I'm appreciating it. I'm loving it. Now, we got people who probably on the line, be sure to know, house in foreclosure right now. They had went to, let's just say, person A and B, and had these seminars and, you know, basically by them waiting so long by listening to A and B, they could pretty much have had this house pretty much taken care of by now. We talk about people who've been doing this for like, these houses have been in people's hands for like 7-8 months into foreclosures. What's the time frame that this can actually be stopped? Like, give me a length so if people can get an idea of how, if you do the right things, how fast this may occur. You got to wait a year. Some people are in houses right now, I know, for over 7-8 months.
That's a good question, and it's a common question, and I'm going to answer it with particularity. The foreclosure lane that you're in, they're going to almost be successful in it. Why? We all know that the government is really not trying to do anything about the banks. It comes down to this, and I'm going to tell y'all whether you like it or not. What kind of martial arts do you know? If you walk through, Black Rose can tell you, you can walk through certain hoods in Harlem, you get your sneakers taken unless you knew how to fight. Did they know how to fight? You just got your sneakers taken. It's to the point where if you don't know the law and you don't know these consumer protection laws, then you're going to get your sneakers taken. You're going to get your house taken. They're going to garnish your wages. The debt collector is going to sue you and get a garnishment against you. With foreclosure, I have to ask you to do this. I have to ask you to forget about the house for 1 minute. For 1 minute, and you need to say, okay, they're over here foreclosing in the left lane. They're playing foreclosure. You're not in foreclosure, and you got to tell the court that you're going to have to defend your house. If they sue you and you're in a judicial state, you're going to have to say, look, you don't have standing capacity. You're not a creditor. You're a debt collector, and the court does not have standing. You don't have jurisdiction. Okay, if you want to utilize some of the things, you don't have jurisdiction. Why? Because you can only hear subject matter of a creditor. These people are not creditors. Now, are they going to listen to you? Sometimes. You can't just say that. You have to have writing ability. You have to know the rules of court. You have to have pleading ability. You have to know what to say and what not to say. You have to know when to answer and when not to answer. So on the foreclosure lane, they're almost going to believe everything that debt collector masquerading as a creditor is saying. But what you have to do is this. I just told you they only paid pennies on the dollar for it, if anything. Sometimes they didn't pay anything. Okay? They're just playing that lane. They screwed the investors in the secondary market. Now they're doubling back and going to take the property, and they're getting paid twice, three times, four times, whatever you want to call it. So this is what you do. You build up you start building up your case. They're foreclosing in the left lane in the state court. You start building up your case in the federal court, and you send them a notice of dispute, and you start that going. You're about to say, okay, I know what you're doing over here, and I know the chances of your success might be pretty high. But I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna go on this lane over here and start using this FDCPA, the FCRA, and the TCPA, and I'm gonna build up so much in damages that house is gonna become unattractive to you, because it's gonna cost you if you continue doing what you're doing over here. It's gonna cost you because I'm gonna have emotional damages. Okay, I'm gonna have marital damages. I'm going to have alienation of affection. My kids might be stressed out. They're going to lose their house. That is damages. And those are significant damages when you stress somebody out or when you cause some mental or emotional dysfunction in somebody. So I'm going to give you the scenario, and I'll end the question. The scenario is you're foreclosing on this $100,000 house, but I'm built up about $500,000 or more in damages just because you over here doing something you have no business doing. I'm going over here to the district court and say, look what they're doing. And they're damaging me, and look what they're doing. Now the debt collector over here on the left is going to be like, okay, do I want to take this $100,000 house and possibly be liable for the several hundred thousand dollars or more in damages that I'm causing? That makes them abandon the foreclosure pursuit most times. Okay, you got to give them something that's going to hurt them. You can't fight. You don't go on the court. You say what you want. These state courts, look, they brothers-in-law. They're brothers. They're part of the association. They're going to let them rock that lane as long as you're not saying anything, unless you file bankruptcy or something like that. They're going to let them go in that lane, and you can appeal and be tied up, or you can start building up your case over here and running your lane, and they're going to be like, oh, man, if I do get the house, the debt collector's going to say, man, I'm going to have to pay them a whole lot more money. And since I don't have money invested in it, I'm just going to leave that alone. And what they're going to say, you want to work something out and do a modification? You want to can I knock the loan down halfway for you? Can I do this? Now, some people, that may be relief for you. For some people, that may be, okay, how about we cut the loan in half? And dry bones, you know, how about you just do $50,000? We'll knock off the other $50,000, man. Because you started this case over here. Now, if you want to do that dry bones, you go ahead. Me? I'm not doing that. I'm not.
You can.
That's how you handle foreclosure.
You going for the juggler. You said you ain't going that route, huh?
Nah.
I like that.
Once I get in there, you can't get me out unless you really show me that briefcase full of money, the chrome briefcase, and you got to open it up, and there got to be nothing but hundreds and thousands in there. I'm stressed out. Everybody on this call is stressed out. Everybody's got emotional distress. Everybody's confused.
That's it. I know I'm a claimant. That's for sure.
That's right.
And I ain't making most of it up. Let me just ask you this, because in doing that, you have this program, and I'll say program because we need to be reprogrammed, y'all. Our programming is messed up. We've been in fear for a long time. It's frightful to go to the court when you don't know what you're talking about. Y'all know that. You go in there on any type of technicality, and you get nervous. It comes a time when we're going to have something that can be strengthened, and it does not start with confusing us. And I'm starting to realize that we got to have brothers like this brother here. I like the name, Brother Sharif, this brother, the sheriff. We got the new sheriff in town, y'all.
I want to say this because I know a lot of people experience this. All of this talk about, you know, I know the seminars, you know, Tina and Bina and Henny and Benny and Pookie and them, you know, got this way to, you know, set off this and send this to the IRS and send this to Africa and put some Old Bay sauce on it and put your butt print on it and mail it to the judge and, you know, twist it around and take your name, flip it and turn it and make the inside out and all that nonsense. All I say is that go study your law, go pull it up, and you see that the lane that I'm in is a lane that is viable, it's understandable, and this is what I do. I'm not telling you, I'm not making y'all guinea pig. Oh, go do this. Now, you might go to jail. They might lock you up, but you got to do that to see if it works. You understand? We're done with that. I mean, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no other way to set up your debt. If it was, I'm just telling you, the people who was talking about it wouldn't be knowing about it. We have to be responsible for what we do. If you were a consumer when you executed that contract, then you have to use those laws that apply to either reduce the amount that you owe or in some cases totally eliminate it because it's not due to the person that's demanding it of you. There's no other way that I know of, and I've been around a long time. And if you can't ask somebody what that way is and they start getting in the spaceship and start, you know, ascending, you know, into the skies and don't answer your question, then you know what the deal is. Come on, we're not stupid.
That's right.
We know if we had a way, show it to us. I'm showing you the way.
That's
I'm showing you the way I know.
And I agree with that 100%. Go ahead.
I want to interject a thought, Mr. Drybones. You told your people to get a pen and paper. I want you to ask them to write down something I'm going to share with them. If they were to earn $25,000 a year and they worked 40 years, they would have $1 million. Ask each one of them to write down how much they've made and the number of years they've been working and ask them where's their money. And the opposite side of that is that their money has gone for judgments, liens, arrears, credit card debt, student loans, all the things Brother Sharif is teaching them how to get some of that money back that has been stolen from them. Where has your money gone?
Well, you know, and I agree with you because, I mean, I look at everybody's, I want you to know that what Brother Sharif and Credit Man, who's been on the show saying some of the same things, Sister Akila as well, and a couple others who've been on here, it comes a point in time where we have to take on something that has a purpose. We can't keep making excuses. We have to be responsible for what we're doing right now, everybody. Because a lot of what's happening today is we have a people who have been totally confused. Y'all heard me say this. Totally confused. And when we get somebody who may be saying the right, you almost have second doubt. You have second doubts because of what has
become
previously the norm to be acceptable. And I'm going to be honest with you. We are the love of the Lord. Now, I see the brother got, I'm going to get into the spiritual because I see he got this in his program. And I just have to ask because these, it says to a lot of people, and I said he had the, says he has the, I think he said the Bible in here, Bible movement and training. It says the people will love the lie more than the truth. And the truth will become the lie. Now, we have to think about it. What is that talking about? Not, it doesn't have to do with even race, not even have to do with color. People are just susceptible to hear a lie. It sounds good.
Yep.
And when somebody comes with the truth, that sounds practical. Y'all say y'all love Malcolm.
Right.
Malcolm said make it plain. If you make it plain, all the great scientists say anything that's plain is more truth than anything that's complicated.
Right.
So when somebody make it plain for us to understand, I think it behooves us to start to gravitate and to learn a simple process. And I think this team I'm hearing today, and with Sister Rudy and Sister Leah, I believe is coming to some fruition because, like I say, nobody comes together in this day and age without a circumstance. And I appreciate that. Now, let me ask you something about that because there is a lot of belief about this Bible being used as a law book. I've heard many Hebrew Israelites say they go to, I listen to Brother Sarnetta TV, and they say they go to court and have the Bible, and they say a few scriptures. Now, I must say, I've been around some great individuals in the Hebrew Israelite movement, and one I will name, because that's what people know me from, was Yahweh Ben Yahweh. Yahweh Ben Yahweh must have woke up and had an epiphany, because he wouldn't got him a Jewish lawyer. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, is this thing really the Bible as being what they consider a law book? What do you consider that? Because people act like they can go in there and use it. You don't even put your hand in the Bible no more, everybody, if you know that. Your hand does not touch the Bible any longer. You just swear in. What do you
think
about
that? Brother, you know, what I learned about religious beliefs or spirituality is I grew up Baptist. I grew up in Baptist church. I went to church 5 days a week, 6 days a week. I mean, I was a church boy. And I grew up having an issue with a lot of different religions. Every last one of them, I see something good. I see something that I don't agree with. So I remain neutral. Do I think the Bible is more coded in law than it is in anything else? And I think it's just, many times I think it's misused, and I think it's misunderstood, but I take it for what I take it for. And I base a lot of it on just seeing law from a different angle. I see that it follows the format of the Bible. So I would say that, you know, I don't believe everything in the Bible. And I believe what I feel applies to me, and I'm able to detox to what I don't agree with. What I don't agree with is how people translate the Bible, which is how we got so many religions from that one book. I think people don't understand how that Bible is formed, how it is structured, how it is formatted, and I think people take certain words just like they do legalese. They think they're reading something, and they're reading something else. But I'll say one last comment on that. It's a blessing from the Creator, and you have that dry bones where you can take very complex information and cut it down to the point where the masses can understand it easily. That is not something that everybody can do. Some people will get on this call, you've had them, and some people I've listened to will have to come on a call, and I don't know what dictionary they're on. They're Blackwell, Bouvier, they have this edition, that edition. It's not that difficult.
Right.
Life should not be that difficult, and we should be able to talk to people on a level that they can understand us, not try to sound intelligent because we have a book or we can read. And that's what I see
we're
failing as a community as a whole, black, white, green, purple, is that we have too many leaders and lip syncers that's talking intelligently, and we don't understand it, and they're telling us to go do it, but we don't understand what we're doing and why we're doing it.
And that's right. I think that's true. Now, SOAR, I like the acronym. For those of you I mean, what made you think authority because of the House of Restoration mystery? But that's a powerful word because I noticed you have the hammer as part of your logo. What made you go that route? What was you thinking when you came up with that?
Honestly, Dry Bones, the universe just brought it like that. When I started off, I thought of the condition of the people as a whole, and I said, man, we need restoration. You understand? We need restoration, you know, and we need it in a bad way. And our motto was, one of the sisters came up with a slogan, ready, reset, restore. We want to ready people to be able to deal with this debt crisis. We definitely want to reset your mind because I know everybody, just like you said, has been, you know, those bones have been wet with a lot of nonsense. So we want to reset your mind, and we just want to restore you back to your previous pure state, which is the definition of restore. So, you know, I came up with that, and I came up with House of Restoration in the beginning, and then I was reading, and I said, I was writing something, and it came to me, I said, the House of Restoration Ministry, and then I seen Thor in it, and from then on, I said, wow, I started reading up on Thor, I said, wow, and I started reading up on my character and the type of confidence and ability I want people to have, and the hammer, as far as hammering away the law, the debt collectors, hammering away our these debt restraints, these handcuffs economically just fit into my will and intent of this ministry and this movement, because it is a movement empowering us again. You know, I have elderly that is surrounded on my team. I have Rudy, 70 years old, a mother. Mother ain't not going to roll with nobody unless they're right. I have women. I understand the value of our women, our matriarch, the value of our people. I can build a team. I don't see that anymore. I see a lot of disrespect. I see a lot of disdain for women. I see a lot of disdain for each other. We can't have competing views anymore. We got to argue with each other. We have to separate ourselves based on religion, based on relief, man, based on beliefs. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So Thor just came as a result of me putting the T to the House of Restoration Ministry, and the acronym just came up to Thor, and I just moved with the spirit, and that it said, that's what you're doing. You know, you're throwing people's conscience, you're throwing people's debt, you're hammering away at what they need to know and what they need to detox from. And we're putting together dry bones. We're motioning those bones again.
That's right. And I was looking at it, and I said, well, it has a lot more, because that hammer means a lot to those out there who's in the know. You know, you got to rough those ashes away. You have a stone that's rough. So when you learn how to chisel your stone, you become more accurate and smooth. And we need to realize that that is restoration from a rough stone to a smooth stone. And we have to understand everybody. Has something to bring to the table. And I think that we can use a lot of our brothers and sisters. I hate to sometimes say we always got to have a celebrity, man, to make us motivated. I really get upset by that. When we got people around us, if you stop looking at your brother and sister because maybe you know everybody and you know maybe some of their bad, you know, we got to get out of that, because in order for this to work, the House of Restoration, in order for this to be something that could be moved, the people got to take accountability for what the brother just said. And that means all of us. I mean, I've been in there. I'm still in the arena. And I ain't just talking. Those of you who know me know I ain't just talking. We do what we say we're going to do. And it's a lot of stuff going on. Now, let me ask you a few more questions while we got you. Cause, and y'all who want questions, I'm going to bring a few of y'all back. But I know it's getting late, and but that's okay. We glad to have this brother on here tonight. It seems to be right now, with the aggressive laws, we have Agenda 21. We have pensions being taken. We have a lot of what I would consider dictator laws, with the executive orders being given at all times. Is there any a little bit overboard with this debt thing? And I did read this now, and I know it was in there. It said that they might not and was going to think about bringing debtors' prison back in. I seen it on, and y'all can look it up on Google, Debtor Prison, I guarantee it'll pop up. What you think about where you think these, I would call draconian laws that is taking away the common man, and which is natural law, what do you think about that? What do you see coming from all this aggressiveness?
Yes, I agree with you, brother, and that's an interesting point that you're making. Debtors' prisons have been here, and the prison is our lack of knowledge, because I'm teaching you how to keep money in your pocket or put money in your pocket. And when I'm talking that talk and walking that walk, I thought I wouldn't have a problem with anybody, because we're talking about money. We're talking about economics. The debtors' prisons, it's funny you bring that up, because in Ohio, the Supreme Court, Ohio is a judicial state, and Ohio is a predominantly melanated state. And they were, and they were just running through these judicial foreclosures, and there were court fees that were building up, okay? Some of them child support, some of them people that went through the criminal system, some of them were civil, some civil penalties for lawsuits or costs. And what they were doing in Ohio was, if you didn't have your court, and this is true what they do, you'll have a debt collector, they'll sue you. Sometimes they'll serve you at a wrong address. You'll get a judgment against you, okay? Or sometimes people get scared and get served with the lawsuit, don't show up, and the judge will hold you in contempt. Say the debt collector is suing you for $20,000. He'll hold you in contempt, put a warrant out for you, and the warrant is for the $20,000 you owe the debt collector. So you're not getting out until you pay the amount of the judgment. This was happening in states. Well, Ohio Supreme Court found out this was not necessarily that, but they were locking people up when you didn't have court costs and fees that the court built up from your case, criminal or civil, and they were locking you up. The higher Supreme Court came back and absolutely started beating the stripes into this lower court and said, look, we're not going to have that. This debtor prisons are unconstitutional. And y'all can Google that article that the Supreme Court came down and said, the tone was, if we find out you continue doing that, we're going to bring our behinds down there and light you up. The debtor's prison is going to be this: you're not having any knowledge about what a debt collector is, because if I'm teaching you how to get them off of you, then you'll never be in that position. If I'm teaching you how to sue them offensively, because everything we do is defense. We're defending our house. We're defending our debt. We're trying to stop them from taking our money. When are you going to be on offense? That's what these laws are for.
Right.
They're for offense. Now you're going in as the plaintiff, and you're saying, now you violated the law. No, you have to pay me. Yes, you will. Will I talk to you and settle with you? Maybe. If you have a briefcase that's full of money, I might. So that's where you get out of the debtor's prison. I don't care what they're doing. If you don't have the knowledge, you're going to be bamboozled. Yes, you're going to be oppressed.
Yeah.
Yes, they're going to do it to you.
So basically, what I'm gathering, you correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like this is the offensive for capitalism.
Yeah,
so wait, this is our legal escape through the capitalistic system that a lot of us may not be aware of. So I think that's something that we should really be aware of, everybody who's listening tonight. Now, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. I want to get everybody to go to your website while we have time here. It's at thorministries.homestead.com.
Yes,
now, if y'all watching this through the internet, you just click on it, because he's on the internet. Those of you who are on Facebook or going to Facebook, just click on there and you'll be able to get on there. And what days are your broadcast?
Yeah, we're going to be on almost every day. Right now, we're definitely on Tuesdays. We have a Friday, Free Your Mind Friday, where we talk about unrelated topics as opposed to debt. And we just kind of chop it up about different things that you talk about, things that are economically centered, but we talk about things where you talk about debt and the agenda and where the country is going, So we have Tuesdays.
Well,
we sometimes have Mondays. We have a Thursday evening show that we started at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tuesdays we're on at 11 a.m. We're a morning show Eastern Standard Time. And we cut back to about 2 hours, Dry Bones, because we were 4 hours and running. But we cut back to about 2 hours. Yeah, we were four. Yeah, I mean, that four-hour platform came from high frequency. I mean, I just had to keep up with what was there, so I got conditioned to 4 hours.
Yeah,
and people would look at me and be like, how do you go 4 hours? But the time still seemed like it's short because I'm so passionate about educating our people that I can go 4 hours. I can go 6 hours, brother. I really could because it's going to free the people. That's what I'm doing.
Well, let me do this. Let me get a few more callers in. If you got time, you feel good, obviously. So I'm going to get a couple of them in here. I got 7191. You on the air, OE Dry Bones. Make it brief, question or comment. 7191. I hear you, 7191. Go ahead. We hear you.
Hotel, brother. Good evening.
Hotel.
Good evening, brother.
Okay. Listening to everything that was presented on the show this evening, I caught it a bit late, and I would like to know where could I get this information comprehensively? Is there some kind of package? Is there some kind of consultation or contact number, something that I can communicate with someone?
Right. This is what I want you to do, and I want to use you as an example, brother, if I would, and I just want to elevate you. Okay. I want everybody to stop thinking about packages and procedures. I want you to think more education. You know, the packages is what we get out there. We buy this, you know, status correction package. We buy this, you know, set off your debt package. And this is no package. This is education. What I want you to read is write this down, 15 U.S.C. 1692, 15 U.S.C. 1681, 47 U.S.C. 227. Brother, I'm not giving you a book. I'm giving you 10, 12 pages of the law. I want you to read that, read those three laws, and then I want you to come to my show and just listen to how we put that into action. Okay?
Okay.
And we do it simply. I don't want you to think we got a package or a we don't, man. And I want to get out of that theory because that I think that's what's abused us for so long, that we've been subject to somebody else's belief or somebody else's package, and then we realize, and some of us just never realize, that it's not working for us. There's a lot of things that a lot of people can talk to you about that are supported by law. But if it's not working for our people, let's stop talking about it. We don't have 3 months to be playing around with some nonsense. We don't have any more time. They're putting us in poverty. There's a lot of suicide regarding foreclosure and debt. You understand? And then crime derives from poverty and debt. Our interest rates is based on your credit report, my brother. So if you can't take care of your family, what are you going to do? You might decide to rob a bank. Not you per se, but this is very serious, which is why I chose a difficult lane, which is why I know I'm going to get some adverse reaction, but I've been in this lane long enough to know that what I'm talking about is the truth, and nobody can move me off of that because these are my experiences. You're not a guinea pig. I was the first guinea pig. I live comfortably from debt collectors. I don't have any ill feelings toward the bank. They print money, my brother. I'm not going to hurt them. They print money. I don't have a problem with judges because I'm a plaintiff most of the time, and I'm asking for money, and I deserve it. I don't have a problem with attorneys because of some of the dumb things that they do that give me the opportunity to sue. I don't have problems with them. I make a lot of friends with them. So when you start having these successes in those three areas, then you start having a different view of life. It's not that bad.
And tell me one of the dumb. Tell me one of the dumb things they do, so I'll know. Give me one of the dumbest things they
talk.
Do. That we
can, every time they open up their mouth is a dumb thing. Because what is this attorney talking about? He's talking about some hearsay. You know, what is the tool of an attorney? Drop on their mouth. And you just got to let them run their mouth. You and I know relationships. I got women around me. Sometimes I let them talk, and then I'll be like, oh, okay. And then they come back and be like, okay, brother. Yeah, you was right about it. Just let the attorney talk. If you let him talk, you know that if he's speaking 40 words, you know that it's only a few in there that's really the centerpiece of what he's talking about. A lot of it is triple, double, and quadruple speak. Let them talk. Let them write. Keep communicating with those debt collectors. They're going to collide with each other. Ask them simple questions. It's all hearsay. Know what facts is versus hearsay. You understand what I mean? I'm on the show now. What I address with Drop Balls, now y'all heard it from me. That's a fact. If y'all hear it from somebody else, then that's hearsay. If a debt collector told you they had signed their debt to somebody else, and you're talking to somebody other than the original person, that's hearsay. How do you know what that debt collector knows about what you owe and you got a mortgage 20 years ago or 10 years ago? How do they know how the other creditor calculated your payment? How do they know that they didn't apply every payment? How do you know that that documentation, that deed or that mortgage or that note is the one that you signed? How do you know? You don't.
Right.
Till you ask the right questions, you don't know. You mean to tell me that they can? You think that they can add up how much you owe with escrow, with charges, with reports? I mean, they can't tell you how much. A third-party debt collector cannot collect the debt from anybody in this country without lying or having some sort of misrepresentation of the facts. I'm just telling you. And let anybody tell me differently. A third-party debt collector cannot collect the debt from you without violating one of those laws.
Right.
That's period.
I'm aware of that myself. So, so most of us who listen carefully, y'all, because you know this is being played out across the country. And let's not play dumb with this because I've been watching this for quite so many years. What we have now is, you tell me what you agree with, we don't have etiquette.
That's right.
Of knowing how to even go about even going in there. And then we don't have with the etiquette, like you said, we don't have the structure of really going how to go into filing these things. Is this what you pretty much can tell the people that you are able to give them if they come to your seminars or on your blog talk, they will get pretty much
practical instruction.
Okay.
You give me a few weeks on my calls, and I'm telling you right now, you will have a fundamental understanding of it's not hard. I'm not sending you on a 2-3-4-5 year mission. I don't have that kind of patience or kind of time. I got people on my call that call from Tuesday to Tuesday is having success with their debts. People that, you know, maybe didn't graduate from college. This is just, the Creator gave me a gift to be able to put it to the people for them to be able to not just understand it but to execute. Right now. I'm not talking about later. I'm talking about right now. That's it.
Being that you're on the spiritual, what made you get into this? When did you actually start to formulate this in your mind that this was something that you were interested in doing? Because it doesn't come to everybody.
My own personal credit. Sure, went to college, got a bunch of debt, went to paralegal school, started learning really what contract law really is, not from, you know, some of the other people that talk about it, but what it really is, what law really is, what debt really is, what contract law really is, and I started to apply it with my own debt. You know, I started to think that, oh, my credit is screwed, man, I'm done. I got to wait 7 years. I got to wait 10 years. I paid some debt collectors a long time ago. And then I just started learning by cleaning up my own credit report. And that's when I say, wow.
Yeah.
And it became interesting. Then I started getting some money from her. And I said, whoa. You know, and then it just snowballed from there. Started helping people in the community, helping people in my family, helping myself, understanding really what the deal was. And I've been on it ever since.
And I agree that most of y'all know that. And it was said by many people, sometimes regardless of your situation, you can be in prison, and you really be really trying to learn the law then because, of course, your life depends on getting out. Then you can be in the civilian world where you go through many of the commonalities that we all go through, which is needed to be known on all levels. Now, everybody, we at the bottom of the hour, and I want everybody to know I enjoy this immensely. I think we're going to really have to get me involved with seeing this myself because, like I say, I'm there. I'm living it, too. And if you're living it, too, pick something that you can practically do without having to be sitting there scratching your head, looking around in the air on a full moon, making sure that your paperwork went through. I want y'all to realize that. It sounds like a joke. Sounds like a joke, but it ain't.
That's right.
Sound like a
joke, I want to say this to you, Dry Bones, in front of your listeners. And I want to offer this to you because this is what we do when we come and we visit with family. I want you to come over. You can give me a call. You know we talk. And I'm going to get some things done on your credit that you'll be able to come back and tell your people what we can do together, collectively. Because
that's
you know
right.
what? Yeah. Having being a consumer, man, is such a good deal when you're able to buy what you want. Take care of your family. If you need it, you get credit. If you want to go buy something, you can. Everything's going to revolve around you having credit because you got to have it. You got to have it to get a job. You got to have it to get a house. You got to have it, you know, to be able to get ahead. You know, our community are only going to be able to enrich ourselves but so much. Use the system. Learn the damn system instead of running away from the system. Use it. It's a good system when you learn it. The people that tell you there ain't no money is the people don't have no money. The people tell you credit is bad is the people don't have it. Just keep it real. I'm just going to keep it real with you. You know, all these theories come from people that just want to not do what it is they need to do, and that's read the law that governs your conduct and your behavior and theirs. The debt collectors, the banks. There's a balance there. We just don't know about it. The attorneys are that key, but that key is no longer there.
Yeah, it was funny because we talked about the key with the lawyers, and you're absolutely right. And the scales is where it's all based up, y'all. And y'all know, I hate to say this, but I have to say this. These are some of the principles that we have totally forgot, period. Everybody know the scale of justice is on the wall, etched in stone. And unfortunately, a lot of this is what's happened to us because I told y'all, reciprocity, we ain't practicing. We got lackadaisical. The dry bones is dry, y'all. But it's blowing these four winds in the four corners. And this brother blowing tonight to all of you, too. So hopefully some flesh came on some of them bones so you can become a skeleton that becomes mature into a human being, because what's happening now is this knowledge is the key, right? We can't get away from it, no matter what we talk about. The brother made some common sense. He said, you know you got to have credit. Tell me one of y'all who ain't going to have credit. Quit playing, everybody. You got to have credit. Tell me somebody who ain't connected to some AT&T, Verizon, you name it, PayPal, any type of system you connected to. It's time to stop playing and learn what we into. And only way you can beat what you into is to know it. And we do not know it. I'm guilty. But we got people who are starting to step to the forefront. And again, brother, I will be on the show. I will be in the learning part because, see, I know if they see me, let's just say if they see me, they going to know, oh, shit, he listened to Brother Sharif. He got
We going to help you through it. Like I told you, I'm going to have you something so you can take back to your listeners and say, listen, we got with the Thor family. Look, they took care of this, took care of that. Show me how to take care of this. Listen,
that's right.
I'm not hibernating no information. I want to work with you because
right.
if we all got fat pockets, then we eat better. Then we learn differently.
Right.
Then we don't suck in all that garbage because we're comfortable. When a man and a woman can't take care of their family, there is no comfort. You can't even serve your
that's
God.
Right.
You can't serve your creator when you're unhappy, when you're stressed, when you don't know if you're going to get kicked out your house, you don't know if they're going to take your check. I mean, it's not a good position, man, and I want everybody to be happy. When they're happy, then we can do things together. So I love you, brother. I thank you for having us,
having me.
You know I'm here for you. You just call.
Sister Rudy, I appreciate you on there for coming on. I haven't met you personally, but I've heard you on many occasions, and I respect your wisdom. Sister Leah, if you're on there, I don't know if you are, if you hear me, appreciate you for making that connection. And me thinking wisely to answer, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, Brother Credit Man, out there, a.k.a. Brother Nkemba, doing his thing and brought this whole thing to fruition because he brought me to the knowledge of you, so must give it to. So, Brother, now we are connection. Let's make it happen. I will be talking to you hopefully very soon, and let's do the thing.
Indeed. Love
United.
You, brother. Thank you
all
for
right,
having us again.
Time. No problem. You fam, girl. You gonna come on back? Believe me. When they see my update, they gonna be jumping all over you.
That's right.
Okay,
brother. All right. Peace. Thank you.